Giving you a four-pack of passes to the happiest place on earth, the Disneyland Resort. We've got them for you at 9 a.m. this morning here on KROQ. A four-pack, by the way. So take the family. Also at noon, 3, 6, and 9 p.m. We're doing it all week long here on the world-famous KROQ. And you can head to KROQ.com for yet another chance to win. So I'm at my favorite Sunday morning diner on, well, strangely, Sunday.
What?
No!
And I had a new waitress, one that I had not dealt with before. And she was youngish. She would not have won the game that we just played, early 20s. And I'm ordering, and I said, hey, I can't remember. Do you have turkey sausage? And she said, all sausage comes from turkeys or something
what?
Like that. Oh. She says, all sausage comes from turkeys. She said, what do you mean, turkey sausage? I mean, she was a nice lady, but she genuinely started the conversation with me. She said, why do you call it turkey sausage? And I said, because most sausage comes from pigs. Turkey sausage, if you have it, is kind of an alternative for people who don't eat pigs. And she said, oh, I didn't know that. And I said, I don't eat pigs. So she said, do you want ham then?
Oh, what and I said, is going on?
And I said, ham comes from pigs also.
Oh, no.
And I said, do you know where bacon comes from? She says, isn't bacon turkeys too? And I said,
no, sir.
I said, there is turkey bacon, but that's, again, a substitute because that also is a pig product. And then I explained to her about pepperonis and about pork chops and about all the other stuff.
I sat her down.
She had, and I'm not joking, guys. This is not me exaggerating for radio ha-has, had no idea that any of those products came from the pig.
Were her parents shielding her from pig massacres and slaughters?
This is what I don't know, and this is what I was thinking about on the whole way home, is that I know that there is a time in many children's lives where their parents don't, at that moment, want them to make the connection between the cute little sheep in their storybooks and the lamb chops on their plate. I get that. I understand that maybe there's an age at which you make that connection. Mm-hmm. Either somebody tells you or you figure it out on your own.
Yeah, but they had no problem telling her turkeys got slaughtered.
This woman was, she was like 23, 24, something like that. And I guess maybe it's just a disconnect from of where your food comes from, because all you ever see is it's in a package in the supermarket. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't ever kind of figure out the process of it.
I knew pretty quick, dude.
You figured it out early.
Yeah, you have to know where I asked every time I ate something. Where is this? I didn't just eat stuff without asking where it came from as a kid.
Come on,
I swear
you're
to God.
Kidding.
No, I swear to God, I had escargot. I remember eating it and being like, "What is this?" Before I ate it, and they were like, "You won't believe me, but it's snails." And I was like, "You know what? I'm going to try it." I would do that with anything. My mom would take me to sushi, and she would use names from the menu that are like Japanese.
Yeah,
and then I would ask. I wouldn't just eat it.
What's unagi, mama?
Yeah.
What a weird kid.
Yes.
How
I was
old
also
you?
Wearing a full suit.
Right. How old were you at this time?
My mom used to dress me in suits. Yes.
Because what 10-year-old is even going to try a snail? That's weird to me.
I did.
I agree, Bean.
Oh, Dave says, I went to a Farmer John's plant when I was a kid and I learned really early.
Oh.
That is... By the way, I don't eat any of those animals either, and I'm telling you that I think everyone should go to the Farmer John's plant. I think that would change a lot of minds. A lot of people would become vegetarian.
All right, bummer.
So it was Sunday that she learned that pigs create bacon and ham and pork chops and sausage. It was very Homer Simpson-like.
Wait a minute. Lisa, honey, are you saying you're never going to eat any animal again? What about bacon?
No.
Ham?
No.
Pork chop?
Dad, those all come from the same animal.
Yeah, right, Lisa. A wonderful, magical animal.
So that got us on the topic of that was, she was that day old when she found out about the pigs. Mm-hmm. What did you find out way late in life that you should have learned much earlier? We're going to go to line one here in a second, so please don't hang up there, sir. Jensen, you had an example of something that you found out maybe way after you should have.
Yeah, do you guys all love the movie Home Alone as much as I do?
Sure.
Okay. Did you know that the cop who comes at the beginning of the movie to talk to the kids, looking back now, do you remember that that's Joe Pesci?
No.
Yeah. So the robber who robs the house later
is
checked in and found out that there was a vacation happening earlier in the movie when the cop stops by to just check in.
What?
Do you remember that?
No.
I mean, I'm not a guy who watches Home Alone every Christmas,
so I
haven't seen it in many years.
I'll give you another one. You know Chinese takeout food boxes?
Uh-huh.
you know, that like the shape is very odd. Why would you mm-hmm. want that? It's very strange. If you take out the metal, mm-hmm. remove that, and then mm-hmm. it the opens handle, right? up and it becomes its own plate.
Yes.
Did you
that
know that?
I that
did I know that.
I didn't know that till literally probably a couple days ago.
Okay.
The other one I didn't know. Do you know sauce cups? The like rigid, you put your ketchup in at like uh-huh. Okay.
Sure.
Did you know, because it doesn't make sense. You put fries in, but you only get like a, you know, an inch in, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. Or like a hamburger doesn't fit in.
Right.
Right.
You slowly open it up and it completely folds open. And
no.
Yes. And
those
then,
little plastic cups?
Yes. And then you just have a little plate for your ketchup.
Didn't know that.
There you go.
Okay. That's pretty
okay.
cool.
Okay. I will say this. Dave blew my mind yesterday. And he said, well, you know that Arby's is just, it's R and B for roast beef.
Yeah, I didn't know that until yesterday.
No idea. And I learned something 2 months ago when I had to have someone come out because one of my burners wasn't working on my stove. He lifted the top part of the stove up and I went, oh, wait, well, what kind of key did you use? And he goes, have you never cleaned? Oh, you've never cleaned under here.
Oh,
and I was like,
Allie.
No,
oh, I've cleaned that.
I had no idea.
You mean lifting the burners off the top of the stove?
No,
actual
underneath,
stove
like the
part.
Actual top
oh,
shelf.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
knew that opened?
Yeah.
Yes.
Good.
That's how you clean the
God.
Grease.
I had no idea.
That's how they designed them on purpose so that you could do that.
Well, I didn't know.
Guys, I was an hour ago when I found out that butterflies lay eggs.
That's true.
I didn't know that butterflies laid eggs. Hey, Bean, Omar writes in, I've worked in the raisin industry for almost 20 years, and there are a lot of people out there who do not realize that raisins come from grapes, says Omar. All right, let's take a couple of quick calls, 1-800-520-1067. Let's go to Rosemead, please, and say hello to our good friend Polo. He is on line one. Jensen Polo is mm-hmm. an awesome name
Beautiful.
For your son as well. Hey,
hey
Polo,
guys.
What's going
hey,
on, man?
Hey, yeah, I didn't know either, Bean, so don't feel bad. And
oh, about the butterflies, thank you.
Though, I do know a lot about the Ella Fitzgerald.
Well, you're my hero then.
Still about that, but not
What's
the
thing that you found out late in life, though?
I'm sorry?
What's the thing you called about?
No, that was, it was about the, and I assume most guys don't know about this, women's period, what it actually is. I'm like, I don't know.
Polo, why don't
what
you,
comes
why
out,
don't you
and
tell
And it
me?
Was in my late 20s that my girlfriend, ex-girlfriend told me at the time, and I was like, oh.
What is it? Polo.
I mean, you guys, I mean...
No, but we want to hear you explain.
Yeah, we want to hear
you still don't know, do you?
Well, the it's acting as if... oh, my God. I'm still dumb. It's acting as if the baby's coming out, something like that. I don't know, something to do with
no,
babies.
No, it's not a baby no. coming out. It's the opposite of a baby coming out.
It's the shedding of the uterine lining.
Because you don't need it because you're not
pregnant.
This kind of stuff. I mean, I didn't even know how to pick up a tampon, and I still don't know what goes on down there.
Polo, hit the Google. Hit the Google.
I don't know what's going on down there, Polo says.
He said it's not a baby.
thank you for the call. I love Polo.
How do we beat that?
Put him down for caller of the year.
Yeah.
God, we got so many good ones here, Allie. What are we going to do? We got to take a break here.
Take a break and let's blow out what's happening.
For real.
Have you heard what's happening?
Because look at Lolly and look at Judy.
Yeah,
I mean,
let's
these
keep
are
it.
Great calls.
Yeah.
All right, so
yeah.
we are going to continue with this at 1-800-520-1067. You were way too old to find out something you should have known much earlier. We'll take your calls right after this on K-Rock. I can't believe how old I was when I learned blank. That's the topic here on The Kevin and Bean Show at 1-800-520-1067. Sarah writes in on the Kevin and Bean at Kevin and Bean Twitter account. 2 weeks ago, I learned that the dashes in front of numbers on the National Weather Forecast maps mean negative temperatures below zero. I
no.
always thought that zero was the beginning. I had to reach out to my Canadian friends to verify. So when she saw -8 yeah. on the weather for Montana, she just had no idea what it was?
She thought it was 8.
Yeah, just a dash
she
right
thought
before
it, was 8.
It.
Yeah, there's nothing below zero. What would it matter?
Oh, that's amazing. That's so California.
That's great, Sarah.
Yes.
Thank you for sending us that. Let's go to Lolly. She's in L.A. as well, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Lolly, what'd you just find out about?
Well, I found out when I was 25 years old, I was driving with my boyfriend to Fresno, and we saw a cotton field. And I looked at my boyfriend, and I'm like, wow, that's a lot of cotton. I go, how can you use so much cotton? I go, I bought a box of Q-tips like 2 years ago, and I still have it. I can't imagine who would use that much cotton. And then he looked at me, and I was like, what? And he's all like, and I go, it's Q-tips. I go, and he goes, have you ever looked at your clothes? And I go, no. And he goes, clothes, everything's made out of cotton. And I was like, no, for real. And he goes, no. And I go, it's fabric. And he goes, fabric is cotton. And so...
That is fantastic.
She's like, I bought those Q-tips 2 years ago. How
do people go through them so quick?
That's amazing.
That's fantastic. Great.
All right, Lolly.
Oh, so
I
good.
I love the way she says cotton, too.
Cotton.
That's fantastic. Thank you for calling 1-800-520-1067. Cage the Elephant, and then your calls are next on K-Rock. From the 714, I thought the equator was a really warm river around the Earth because on the globe, it's blue. I thought that until I was in my 20s.
Oh. This does remind me of a Kylie Jenner tweet from last September where she said, last night I had cereal with milk for the first time, life-changing. She's in her 20s. She never knew about milk and cereal together.
Wait, hold on.
Yeah, because then Kris Jenner said she just always fed them it dry. So they didn't know that you could put milk in.
Who's eating dry cereal?
I've done that too.
What?
Yeah, it's kind of candy if it's Cinnamon Toast Crunch. But if you put milk, it's better. We all know that.
Oh, yeah. You're all weird.
Okay. All right. We're taking calls on what you were old when you found out at 1-800-520-1067. Judy's in Santa Monica. Thank you for calling and holding on, Judy. What'd you find out and how old were you?
I was probably 7 or 8. And my parents we always went to this deli to get sandwich meat, like fresh cut sandwich meat. And one day we're walking through and I'm like, ew, that's gross. And my brother's like, but you eat that. And I'm like, what do you mean I eat that? He's like, yeah, that's tongue. I'm like, no, it's not. He goes, and the guy behind the deli's like, yeah, that's cow tongue. Your dad just ordered like a pound of it. And I'm like, I'm never eating that again.
Oh, so
I
have
no
long,
idea.
Yeah, how long have you been eating cow tongue without knowing? Just years?
Well, yeah, I mean... Your parents are like, here, eat it. It's tongue. I never thought that it was an actual tongue, and I'd never seen it as a cow tongue. And they're huge and disgusting. And, yeah, no, never eaten it since.
It's a tongue that comes out of a cow.
Well, but, you, again.
Let her work through it.
Pork chop does not mean it's a pig chop.
Okay.
You know.
It does no.
It does, though.
It does, though. I mean, that's what it is. It's like a rump roast that just comes out of the back of a cow.
It's a cow ass.
But, okay, and if they labeled it as cow ass, would you actually buy it?
Have you had rump roast? Hell yeah.
All right. Thank you for the call, Judy. I appreciate that. Let's try Manny Linwood up next, line 6 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Manny, what's happening?
Hey, party people, and it's Manny Stanky Ass, by the way.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, yes. Stanky Ass.
I'm sorry your friend Kevin isn't here to enjoy this, but go ahead.
I know. Hey, Bean, by the way, I'm going to miss you, just FYI.
Thank you, Manny. What did you learn when you were much too old to learn it?
You know how a few weeks ago you guys were talking about washing the butt, and there was this thing called a washcloth?
Uh-huh.
Well, I had never heard of that.
Uh-huh.
I had never used one.
Right.
Even after that little talk, I still have not using it. It's exit only. I don't want to go down there. I just let the water trickle down my butt crack, and hopefully the soap does its work. And I'm about to turn 40.
You gotta get a washcloth, dude.
The way you said it was like beautiful poetry.
I was so interested.
All right, Manny. Thank you for the
I just
call.
Let it go down my butt crack, and I just hope everything worked out. It was beautiful. It was like kind of nice.
Let's go to Scott in Burbank. He's in line 8. What is happening today?
Great show.
Scott, good morning.
Hey. Good morning. So this has a little bit of a punchline to it, but my mom called the other day, and she's in her 70s, and it was really random call out of the blue, and she said, so I have a question for you. What's a pickle? And I kind of thought she was trying to trick me or something, so I said, well, I guess it's kind of a vegetable. And she said, well, what does it come from? I said, isn't it a cucumber? And she said, yeah, can you believe I never knew that? But the thing is her first job ever was a pickle packer.
Whoa, plot twist.
And she never knew what she was packing. I don't know how you take that.
Well, by the way, Pickle Packer was my nickname in college.
Sure, it was. Now, we're all thinking the same thing. I mean, he's right. A pickle is a cucumber that's been processed,
right?
Okay.
Yes.
But she just found that at 74 years old. That's amazing.
Wow.
Thank you, Scott. All right, let's squeeze in a couple more. Let's make it Rafael Pico Rivera, line one. He's up next here on K-Rock. Rafael, another food-related one. What do you have?
Yeah, what is up, party people? So my whole life, about 3 years ago, I've been saying smashed potatoes instead of mashed potatoes. So check this out.
It.
The reason how I found out it was mashed potatoes, I went to a restaurant and I was like, wait, there's a typo in the spelling. It's mashed. So I'm like, I'm not going to eat in a restaurant that has a typo. And I get that look of like, really, dude? It's mashed potatoes.
Oh, my gosh. That's great. Did you believe the Grinch when he carved the roast beast? Did you think that was what it was really called, too?
I didn't know, but doesn't it make sense? I mean, it's smashed. They're smashed potatoes.
Well, they're also mashed. Yeah. You mashed
not
them.
Either or.
He's trying to convince us now.
Right.
All right, bud. It's smashed potatoes.
Where the rest of the world is wrong. Thank you. Give me line four, please. This is going to be Alex. We'll just squeeze in two more real quick. Alex, L.A., you're up.
Hey, party people. So when I was in like around fourth grade, I had a friend, Hugh, in class who was black, and he told me that his dad just went to synagogue last night for Hanukkah or something. And I told him, that's not possible. Jewish people can't be black. And it wasn't out of racism. It was honestly out of ignorance because I had grown up ethnically and culturally Jewish, but I didn't think of it as something like that you can convert to or be. I thought like you were either born Jewish or you weren't, you know?
Yeah.
And the whole class started arguing with me, basically telling me, like, no, of course, the teacher was black, too. And she was, like, yelling at me, saying, like, why do you think black people can't be Jewish? And it's like, because it's just not possible. Is it against the law or something?
Oh, no.
Oh,
geez.
Oh, dear.
I mean, look, you're not going to meet a lot of African-American Jewish people, I think. Am I wrong about that, Jensen?
No,
you're in the tribe, right? You don't meet a lot of them.
No, you see more now than ever because of, you know, Jewish women marrying black men is
more
acceptable now in these days than it was probably when my dad was
younger. So I totally get where Alex was coming from. Like you said, it was just out of ignorance. You just didn't know, but that's very funny. That must have been a spirited conversation. All right, let's do one more. Let's make it Steve in Culver City. Up next, line three. Hey, Steve, you're our final call. What did you learn way too late?
You know, I'm 47 years old, and just this weekend, I saw in a Twitter feed from Lena Headey that you could actually peel a pineapple.
Allie, you want to take this one?
Yeah, I posted it on my Instagram, and people lost their minds. You basically cut off the top of the pineapple, and then you peel each piece from the prickly part.
I had no idea.
I had no idea either, Steve. It's incredible. We'll actually tweet it from @KevinandBean because the video it's insane, right?
Oh, yeah. I was like, my mind was blowing up in my head.
Yeah.
I was like, how is this possible? I have lost so many pineapples by not cutting them and letting them go bad.
Yeah. It changes people's lives.
All right. We all learned a little something here today. Thank you for the call, Steve. We'll take a quick break.
I just hope it run down my butthole and it just magically trickle down and make a clean.
It's crazy all the things that people are continuing to send in that they found out late in life. I'm 38, Paul says. I found out just a few years ago that all the even number freeways and highways travel east to west and all the odd number freeway and highways travel north to south. Did you guys know that?
Yeah, I did know that.
Like the 10 is east west, the 5 is north south. Okay?
I do also want to say that when we had calls up and we dropped them all, there was one on there that said I was in my 20s when I found out the vagina and the urethra were two different things.
Huh.
Yeah, I didn't want to go to that one, so we didn't have to have that discussion.
I got an email from Erica from Orange who said, I taught her something last week that changed her life.
Oh.
And I post this on Instagram stories once a week because people still don't know that when you just touch the screen with your finger, you can stay on an Instagram story. So if someone's got a ton of writing and people are like, why do I keep flipping back? You just touch the screen and
it
stays.
I like it when you do accents.
Why? So that's very helpful. And thank you, Erica.
Hey, Beer Mug is in the studio.
Mm-hmm. He's been invited.
I just want to know if I should turn up his mic.
Muggs has been invited.
Okay.
Yeah, he's allowed to be here. Hey, Muggs, how you doing, man?
Thank you for inviting me, Bean, Allie, Kevin.
It's my pleasure. We always enjoy it because you're so terrible at this game. It's time for Bean Makes Us Guess.
Bean Makes Us Guess, yeah. Ooh, ooh. Brr. He makes us guess, yeah.
Who gets penis slapped?
He is a dick.
Pretty dope, man.
Brr. Just wanna tell ya.
I am the dumbest human that ever lived.
Now it's time for Bean Makes Us Guess.
Yes. Brr.
This was a big week in television history as HBO said goodbye to its most popular show ever, Game of Thrones. In fact, the finale, with 19 million viewers that night, puts it in the top 20 of all-time series finales in television history. Came in at number 17 with its 19 million viewers. I thought it might be fun, since we're thinking of series finales, to try to come up with the others on the list of the most watched series finales of all time. Everybody got it?
Yep.
Got it.
All right, so there are a couple from the 70s, some from the 80s, most from the 90s, and a few in the 2000s. So it spreads over the decades. What are the most watched television series finales of all time? Kevin, as usual, you get to go first on this edition of Bean Makes Us Guess.
Knock Knock Live.
Right?
What?
Wow. You're talking about the Ryan Seacrest live show.
Where he'd knock on the door.
Right, and then it aired like twice. And you think the second one was
the second one was huge.
Most numbers. Watched series finale. You know, it may be just outside the top 20, but it did not make the top 20. I'm sorry. That is not a winning guess.
Okay.
Beer Mug, you're up next.
I'll be there for you. Friends.
Number four, 2004's Friends series finale. 53 million viewers, which was big, big numbers back then. You are on the board, Miss Allie McKay.
That number pales in comparison to the number one show.
Wow, big sell. Okay.
Yeah, that I have seen no episodes of, but that show is MASH.
Doubled the Friends 53 million. Oh. Exactly 106 million people tuned in to watch the series finale of MASH in 1983.
That number.
Yeah. Why have you never seen an episode of MASH, one of the all-time great television shows?
I just wasn't into war when I was a toddler.
Right, but it's never
left. Is that
left
the only time you watch TV?
Yes.
Okay. It's never left reruns, you know. And the show was on for 8 years longer than the actual Korean War that it portrayed.
Wow.
Yes, number one, absolutely. 106 million viewers. Kevin, you're up next.
Space Ghost Coast to Coast.
I'm sorry. Again, it might be just outside the top 20.
You've got to start doing these correctly, Kevin. People get really upset.
Quick story. I just said, tomorrow we're going to do Kevin Annoys You, and somebody thought that meant, hey, what does Kevin do that annoys you? And a listener wrote, what really annoys me is he doesn't take Bean Makes His Guest seriously. Guy, and he was being honest, like he was being real.
You think this is a joke, Kevin?
Yes, I do. He was so upset I didn't take this seriously.
I love
that dude.
All right, Mugs, see if you can get another point on the board.
Got to go with Lost.
Lost is number 19.
Oh.
So I'm sorry to say it was 2010's Lost series finale with 14 million viewers. That was a good guess, though, but not in the top 10. You do not get a point. Allie, you're up.
Just this month, Big Bang Theory.
Big Bang Theory came in at number 18 on this list with 18 million viewers.
Wow.
Less than Game of Thrones, by the way.
Wow.
That shows you, again, HBO being in limited households, how unbelievable that number is. All right, we'll go around one more time. Kevin, you're up next.
Andy Richter controls the universe.
It's a good choice, but no, I'm
Come
sorry.
Come on.
What's the score right now, Allie?
Mugs and I both have one.
Okay. Because Kevin doesn't take this serious.
Oh, it's tense. All right, Mugs, what can you do?
I think I've gone with all NBC shows, so I'm going to go with another one. ER.
ER is nowhere to be found on this list. I'm sorry, but there are several.
I don't think that's over yet. I think they're still changing
they
cast.
Wait, are
still
doing it? That's crazy now.
Okay. Yeah. There are, I won't give any more clues to favor Allie, but what's your final guess?
It's between Seinfeld and Newhart.
Okay.
Are either on there? And if so, which one?
You don't get two picks.
I wish it worked like that, but you can pick.
I'll go Seinfeld.
Seinfeld is number three on the list.
Right.
1998, 76 million viewers.
Whoa.
Some of the ones in the top 20, by the way, that you might have thought of are The Sopranos, Golden Girls, Dallas. Surprisingly, Full House, by the way, was number 15. Full House.
Wow.
And MacGyver was number 16. Would you have ever imagined in a million years MacGyver from 1992 had 22 million viewers?
I'm still stuck on Golden Girls. Like you said, we should have come up with that one.
Well, everybody knows how beloved the Golden Girls are. Here's your top 10, though. Right. From 2004, 34 million viewers was Frasier. Mm. Number 9. Home Improvement from 1999.
Not possible.
Had 36 million viewers, by the way, for Home Improvement. Number 8, Family Ties from 1989. Number 7, All in the Family from 1979. Number 6, The Cosby Show from 1992 had 44 million viewers.
How many of those would like to take that back?
Pretty much all. Here's the biggest surprise in the top 10 in terms of series finales. Magnum P.I. from 1988 had 51 million viewers.
No way.
51 million.
Almost all of these shows were on at a time when you didn't have a lot of choices.
A lot of options.
Of course.
Sure.
There weren't a lot of cables. There's not a lot of satellite. There weren't a lot of streaming services. So it makes sense that the numbers are bigger.
Beer Mug, you had Friends at number 4. Allie, you had Seinfeld at number 3. The number 2 no one came up with was Cheers from 1992.
I know. How do I not get that?
That had 80 million viewers, and then MASH at number 1. So this has been Allie's the winner. Bean makes us guess. I'm telling you, the story from the Post is the weirdest thing you're going to hear all day.
Right.
And it's coming up in about 10 minutes. First, though, do we have jurors on the line?
We do.
All women.
All women.
Right?
All women.
All
women.
Yep, yep.
And they called without knowing in advance what the topic was going to be.
Correct.
So no prejudgment here.
Correct.
All right. Planet Fitness, you guys, has done a survey of over 2,000 women. And they have found, much to my surprise and also to my delight, because I win in this environment, I win here as a result of this, that more than half of the women surveyed prefer a dad bod to a ripped, lean stomach. So no longer do I have to worry about that six-pack of abs that I have. I can just let it go.
You have been working hard on that.
I sure have.
So I hate to see you let it go so easily.
And no more crunches.
I do think it's important to address that dad bod is not necessarily fat.
It's not, a big, overweight dude. It's just
not defined.
Not toned, not defined.
Yeah.
Now, who would be, for folks who still are not grasping, Allie, who would be an example of a celebrity that we know that has a dad bod? Somebody that you would say, okay, that's the personification of what we're talking about here.
Vince Vaughn.
Sure.
Vince Vaughn.
Yeah.
Okay. Not a guy who's
spent
a lot of
time. He does not want to hear that.
No, he doesn't.
Apologies, Vince Vaughn, if you're listening.
I think he knows that.
Yeah, okay.
He's not a guy who's spending time in the gym. He's just a guy who probably watches what he eats. He's not fat. He looks like a normal guy, or these days in America, a thinner than normal guy.
Yeah.
But certainly not a gym rat.
Right.
Okay. How about you, Allie? Dad bod or
I
ripped?
Definitely have a dad bod.
That wasn't his question.
Okay. Got it.
What do you prefer?
Absolutely a dad bod.
You do.
Because a guy that's ripped, and I don't mean to stereotype, but
she's going to stereotype.
You're spraying Axe body spray, you've got an affliction hat, and your whole life is working out. Those dudes do not interest me one bit.
What if you're just a healthy dude, though? What if you're just a guy who wants to be in good shape? Like Mr. Weatherby, our boss, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
He's in really good shape. He's obviously a guy who goes to the gym.
Wow.
But he doesn't.
What's going on?
Is he a guy that goes to the gym?
Obviously. Yeah, totally. You can see that
yeah,
dude works
buff.
Out.
Okay,
But I don't think he has any of those other stereotypes that you're talking about being being a dick.
I also don't see him as a gym rat.
That's
type
what I'm
of guy
saying. He's
at
not
all.
He's not a buffed up dude. He's just in shape. So I think he sits in a different category. Yeah. Than
he's
the other
somewhere
two.
In the middle. Okay,
yes. Right.
All right. So dad bod over ripped lean stomach. You say, Chip? How about you? You're the other lady in the room. You agree?
Same. Yeah.
Totally. Okay. All right. So let's find out if our listeners agree as well. It's time for a Kevin and Bean scientific survey.
It's time for Kevin and Bean's scientific survey.
To the surprise of many, over half of women in this survey of 2,000 prefer the dad bod over the ripped, lean stomach.
Now, the one thing that we do need to point out is that the results of the scientific survey are legally binding.
Correct. That's correct.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes. And we're going to go to as many as 5 callers. That's how seriously we are taking it to determine whether it's true or not. Who's our first juror, please?
First is Priscilla from West Covina.
Hey, Priscilla.
Hi.
Thank
good
you for
morning.
Listening. Good morning. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. What say you about dad bods? Do you prefer that or do you prefer a ripped dude?
Total dad bod.
Yeah.
Really? Right. How come?
Because you don't have to worry so much about
other women being interested in him.
Completely. I mean, I've dated my guys with, you know, totally ripped abs, and it's just not the same. You think they're totally into, you know, having sex, that they're perfect, nothing's going to go wrong, but it's totally, it's just... Dad bods are for sure the best way to go.
All right. Okay. All right.
One for dad bods.
All right. All right. Who's up next, please?
Next is Erica in Yorba Linda. Good morning, Erica.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, what do you think? Dad bods?
So I'm with dad bod as well.
All right.
Wow.
Why have I been wasting so much time in the gym?
Well, you haven't.
Why do I work out every day, all day?
And you don't.
Says the guy who can't come to grips with the fact that his thighs are sore after running once.
All right, Erica.
One thing I want to add real quick that has not been mentioned is, you know, when you're at home and you're, like, sitting on the couch or, like, you're laying in bed, like, snuggling. Like, that dad bod has that extra cushion to, like, snuggle up on where, like, the rock-hard body is just, no, I don't want to lay with that.
Yeah. Right.
It's like laying on a deck or something.
deck. Yep.
Yeah. Thank you, Erica.
Great example.
Great example.
Market, please.
Playing with a deck.
Yeah. No, but I'm saying if you're laying on, like, a porch or something like that,
right.
It's not comfortable.
Or a porch. Yeah. Right.
Next.
A deck.
All right.
I love that just came to mind.
It's like you're out in a cabin and you're laying on.
Next is Jenna from Simi Valley. Good morning, Jenna.
Good morning.
Now, Jenna, we are already 2-0 dad bod. Are you going to seal this one for us, or are you going to go the other way and say you prefer a dude with ripped abs?
So here's the thing. I think it's way more comfortable. You have the freedom to eat and drink and whatever with a dad bod dude. And then it's your choice when you say you want to get on the healthy page, and then you can make them do it with you. It's control.
Okay.
So she wants mind control, which is
wow.
Fine. That, I
that wasn't
that
one of the options.
When I'm ready.
But... I'm sorry?
When I'm ready to get fit.
When you're ready.
Okay. Right. Okay. All right. So we are putting you down for dad bod?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a winner. We have a winner. So, guys, I mean, this is... Bring it down.
Hold on.
This really backfired on Planet Fitness because everyone who's listening right now just canceled their gym membership.
Yeah, don't need it.
That's how it works. Sorry about that.
That was Kevin and Bean's scientist.
If you have saved any body parts of your own or your friends, or your neighbors, or your victims,
or
we're going to want to
hear. Or your kids.
We're going to want to hear from
victims,
you.
Victims' kids,
right. Sure.
And you got a clown suit in the closet.
Right.
Is that what's troubling you, Bunky? We're gonna want to hear from you in about 15 minutes or so here at the Kevin and Bean Show. You kept a body part is coming up. First, though, Thursdays about this time means only one thing. Jensen Karp is here. Time to get up on this.
Get up. Get on up. On this. Get up. Get on up. On this.
Get up.
Get on up.
On this.
Get up. Get on up.
On this.
Guys. It is a world of podcasting, isn't it? Everyone seems to have one. You just go to Whole Foods. All the cashiers have one. Every celebrity has one. We had on David Tennant yesterday.
Uh-huh.
He's got a podcast.
He's got one, yeah. Sure.
Everyone in the world. So what I feel like, forget up on this, when I bring up a podcast, I feel like I've sort of deciphered who you need to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
I have went through all of them. I've listened to a lot of podcasts.
It does seem like an impossible task to pick the good ones out of all of them.
It's impossible.
A lot of
Wait,
noise.
You've been through all 750,000 of
yes,
them, Jensen?
I've listened,
that's impressive.
I have listened to at least 2 minutes of all of them. I'm not saying that I've listened to every minute of it, but
okay.
I've sampled.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? I've done the Costco test.
Sure.
Okay. I first stumbled on this podcast, and I'm so excited to have them both in here today. I saw a small clip on Twitter, and I was like, oh, I'm in. I'm never missing another one of these episodes.
Really? Just based on one clip?
Exactly. I want to introduce you guys to Andrew Michon and Cole Hirsch from Podcast But Outside.
Hey, right.
Hello.
Welcome.
Okay. Here's what the podcast is.
Yes.
It's a podcast where they interview people,
mm-hmm.
but outside. It's anyone who walks by, they offer $1 to join the podcast. And you get interviews and strange occurrences. They do it on Ocean Avenue. They'll do it on like Hollywood and Vine, correct?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can I play you just one clip? The one that I saw on Twitter went, well, I'm fully in. This is a woman who just stops by and they start talking to her.
And I was somebody else's wife for a while.
Wow.
Yeah, well, you know, that happens if you live long enough.
But the second one worked out.
Well, until he died.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
No, he left me in a good position. He was a nice guy, but he was really weird. And when I think about it, he was a dangerous man.
What was weird about him? Why was your husband weird?
Well, he was an older man.
Okay,
that is kind of weird.
Well, yeah, and also he'd been my teacher a long time ago, but it had nothing to do with that.
With the relationship, okay.
Nah, and it turned out he had a double life.
Wow.
What was the second life?
He was a crack addict.
What? Wait, how do you hide that? Hold on, how do you hide?
I don't. He was a nice old Jewish guy, and very. I'm a nice old Jewish lady.
Oh, my wow.
We can be nice. But he was very well respected and had a really good career. He was a science guy on TV for a while.
Wow.
This is what happens.
Did he die from crack?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Fascinating, huh? See, I'm
and
walking down
what,
the
overdose? Overdose?
No.
Just a lifestyle.
Yeah, it was horrible. He got COPD, if you know what that is.
I don't.
Chronic... obstruction pulmonary disease.
Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry.
His lungs rotted out.
Yeah, I was sorry too.
So he was smoking crack.
This is what he did.
You didn't know until he died?
No, I knew, but he said he would hang out with these people and he'd say, I just took this one to rehab and I just did this and that. And then, you know,
so he was playing nurse when he was secretly.
This is what he did.
Wow.
This is what he did. And now he died.
Wow.
How did he get addicted to crack?
He started smoking it.
I'm just trying to...
Wait, how does it work?
What point does she tell... Did one of you say, you killed him, right?
So tell everyone about what it is. I gave a clip, but explain the podcast.
Podcast, but outside. We sit on the street with a fold-out table and some fold-up chairs, and we have a sign on the front of our table that says, "Hi, be a guest on our podcast, and we'll pay you $1.
And there's a smiley face at the end of the sign to let them know that we're actually pretty nice people.
What's the normal reaction to people walking by?
No.
Really?
We get like, I'd say we have a 5 to 10% success rate as far as asking people. Mm-hmm. So
5 to 10%? Holy crap.
But if you're in a heavy traffic area.
Yeah, exactly.
What, are you out there for 2 weeks? We just have to get one person to stop.
It does feel that way at times.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Definitely.
A big aspect to the show as well is it's not only audio recorded, they film all of the podcasts as well.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Now,
so I get to see the woman that...
Yeah.
I have a total picture in my head.
Her name's Marilyn. That was in Glendale. Her name is Marilyn.
Explain.
I hope to be her third husband.
Can we say one thing about Marilyn before we move on, actually? Mm-hmm. So we interviewed her for, 5 to 7 minutes or something, and she mentioned Kevin and Bean.
That's just not true.
I'm serious. You can watch the whole episode.
It's in the episode 2.
She's like, "Oh, do you guys know Kevin and Bean?" And we're like, "Oh, yeah, we're familiar." And she just said that she really likes them. So we're actually, right now, we are doing a petition to Marilyn, if she's listening, to come today, later today at 3 p.m., and meet us in the same location. We're going to do another episode.
Oh, I hope she's listening.
And we're hoping to get her to come
what
out.
What if she's a podcaster and listens 3 days later? How willing are you
I have a feeling she's not a podcaster.
Tell people.
Are you going to have the police waiting for her?
This is a setup. Tell people how you legally get away with filming it.
So we have a camera guy, which is just a friend with an iPhone. But in order to get around the filming permits, we say that if a cop were to approach us, our alibi is that he's not with us.
We don't know that guy.
Exactly. We don't know him. He's just decided to film us. We're just recording audio. Which is a loophole. It's worked.
I like
actually.
The hardest I've laughed at a podcast is that they made that up in episode 1. Like, we'll just say, don't say anything. In this last episode, it worked.
Yeah.
The guy goes, okay, and walks away.
Meanwhile, our cameraman is sitting in a plastic chair identical to the plastic chairs that we have.
Directly across from us.
He looks like one of our friends. It's like, could not be more obvious what's happening.
How many episodes have you boys done of the podcast?
Eight. We just released episode 8 yesterday. They come out every Wednesday.
And where did the idea come from? What made you think of it?
I had the idea for a long time that I pitched to different companies that I was at the time, and all of them said it was not a good idea to record audio on a street. Mm-hmm.
That's all you needed to hear to know you had to go with it.
Exactly. Yeah. So.
And then he had told me the idea, and we had worked together on some stuff in the past, and then we kind of had talked about different ways to make it work and blah, blah, blah. And at a certain point, I was just like, let's just go and do it. So we just bought a
sit
table.
Sit down, see what we can do.
Yeah, we just bought a table at Costco, went to downtown, like right in front of Grand Central Market, and just started recording the audio. And then after that episode, we only recorded audio, and we felt a video component would really help kind of just set the story a little bit.
So the video guy that's not with you is with you.
Yeah, he's
video.
With us. Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. So we never ended up releasing that first episode. It was just kind of a test just to see if we could even have the guts to do it, really.
Mm-hmm. What's the reaction been like?
It's been very positive, especially on, I mean, YouTube has been, I think, we've been getting most traction so far.
Edit it really well, too, and you add things
in.
Yeah,
we add little jokes. Yeah. So like, jokes. If someone references a movie, we'll do like a photo of like a different movie. I don't know, we're kind of like,
we kind of take stuff wrong. Yeah,
they produce it. They produce it.
I like it.
Yeah. And also, they're having like repeat people come by now, like Yin.
Really?
Yeah, Yin.
Yin, who's an amazing foreign exchange student who they met on one of the episodes, he came back. But it's this small exchange, I took a small clip from it, of them and Yin is adorable.
Speaking to the microphone.
Hi, what's your name?
My name is Yin.
Yin, okay. Yeah. I'm Andrew. This is Cole. How's your dating life going down here?
It's okay. I'm just kidding. I am in a relationship.
So. You're in a relationship? Oh, what's your partner like?
He's a dude.
And what's he like?
Cool. Just go to community college. It's 2 hours away.
2 hours away?
Yeah.
How did you guys meet?
Tinder.
Oh,
Tinder.
Cool, cool. How do you guys get along? You guys get along well?
Pretty good, yeah.
Do you have a lot in common?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, what kind of stuff?
Gay stuff.
Gay stuff. And I'm telling you, it's such a great small piece of exchange of thoughts and conversation, and you don't know what's going to happen next.
Yeah, and Yin, you know, he's from China, and he was in America for like 8 years, and then I think like a week after we recorded that episode, he went back to China.
Is that right?
And we had a long conversation about being gay in America versus being gay in China. None of his family know that he's gay. Mm-hmm. Not even his siblings. And he said he can't come out to them. They're just such an old
that's
world.
Gonna be rough.
Yeah, it was just really interesting to have this conversation with a guy who, you know, was otherwise just walking down the street.
I mean, the truth is everybody has a story.
Yeah,
and there are people who want to tell it. No one asks. Yeah. So I bet they're happy to see you.
And I also think it's kind of self-selective in a way in terms of the people who end up sitting down, because we get so many people saying no. The people who end up sitting down more often than not are very interesting and charismatic and kind of have
something
stuff to say.
They have exactly. Something to say.
Because we're not just forcing everyone. You know, it's not like you just are all of a sudden there. It's kind of like, oh, I'm interested in doing this. And then you sit down.
All right. Get the plugs again.
Yeah, get the plugs again. You can get a podcast But Outside anywhere you get podcasts.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And most importantly, though, because you want to see it, Podcast But Outside, the YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. It's very easy to find just by Googling. And thank you guys for coming in. It is a great podcast. I could not suggest people listen to it and watch it more.
Thank you so much for having us. This is a pleasure.
And that is my Get Up On This.
Get up, get on up on this.
Get up, get on up on this.
Get up,
get on up
on this.
Get up, get on.
10 a.m. Tickets are going on sale for K-Rock Street Team members for the K-Rock Weenie Roast, Luau, and Beach Party June 8th at Doheny. You definitely want to get up on that. Oh, speaking of that, Jensen's got Get Up On This coming up just after 7 a.m. And we'll have some live music from Silver Sun Pickups. It's a lot of show today here on the world-famous K-Rock.
You know, a lot of people love something, and you sort of feel left out if you don't love it as well.
Mm-hmm.
My first example is wine. People who love wine, man, they love wine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And sure I don't, and I sort of wish I did, because I feel like I'm missing out.
Right? There's beautiful glassware you could be using.
I mean, that's not what I was thinking, but...
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Kevin, I felt like I was out of the conversation with no Game of Thrones in my life until this season. Everybody was loving Game of Thrones, and I thought, you know what? I'm jumping on board, and I'm glad I did. So I know exactly what you're talking about.
I'm not a fan of puns, and it seems like I'm the only one.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like I'm the odd man out, and I wish I could enjoy them, but I have some newscasters doing puns, and man, are they laughing hard.
Yeah.
And it seems like they're having a really great time. This is from Australia Morning News, and they're talking about a loose deer that's running around the streets.
Several calls about the animal, but were unable to track it down. No idea.
Ah!
Sorry.
Oh, Georgie.
Sorry.
We haven't done this in a while.
No idea.
That's it?
Yes, and that's what got that laugh. So then the other people wanted to play, so they did the story again.
Authorities received several calls about the deer, but so far have been unable to track it down.
We were going to have venison last night, but it was too deer.
Wait, stop it.
That's not even a pun.
These aren't good. These are bad.
That's my point. Everyone seems to be having such a good time, but most puns are bad.
Well,
that
was a pun, though, because he was making a play on two deer meaning too expensive.
Right.
But
that's,
not,
I mean,
It's not good, no. but it was a pun.
But wait for the weather girl. She actually brings it home.
Authorities received several calls about the deer, but so far have been unable to track it down.
We were going to have venison last night, but it was too deer.
So funniest thing ever. Okay.
Don't worry, the weather's coming up. It looks like rain, deer.
Okay, not bad.
Beauty.
It looks like rain, deer. See, because they're using deer.
Okay,
and then they're laughing.
Yeah,
and I'm not. We did pun jokes when last week, the week before.
Right.
I don't find
those were great. Those were awesome.
You're picking the worst.
Yeah,
they were fantastic.
All are awful.
I am a pun fan, but the viewers of this newscast are not having nearly as much fun as the broadcasters.
Same with this studio, my friends.
I hope they're on like LSD or something. This is a bonkers reaction to terrible puns.
There's a dude that works for CNN, and this is his thing. And I believe this story is about a cat running for office in England, just based on all of his ridiculous.
I still think he'd make a good leader, especially with a more fitting name. Consider Theresa May, David Cameron, or Gordon Havana Brown. Let's not forget about Tony Shorthair and John Mayshar True, and of course the famous Mouse Grit Catcher. All excellent meownikers for a prime meownister. I'm Carl Azus for CNN.
All right.
Are we enjoying that?
No, that wasn't.
We're not enjoying that.
No.
Okay, well, there's a BBC announcer who's had it with puns. He hates them, and he's the extreme version of me. He's, hey, kids, get off my lawn. He hates this. Allie, how does this work? The writers put up the stuff on the prompter?
Yeah, the writers put everything there. The anchor just reads it. But usually before a newscast, you're able to go through and see
scan
a
it.
Few of the scripts.
Mm-hmm. Listen to how exasperated he is talking about this World Dog Surfing Championship, which he doesn't feel like is up to his standards of being a newscaster.
You're watching BBC News. Just bear in mind, it is August. This does not look like a walk in the park. Dog owners and their pets in California have hit the waves in the second annual World Dog Surfing Championships. Here are the pictures.
There's also style, there's confidence, there's the size of the wave, because some events have really big waves.
You hear him? He hates his life. He's waiting for sweet death.
He went...
The competitor's main challenge is to stay afloat on the board. This is in Pacifica near San Francisco, but there are also prizes for the best dressed and tandem surfing dogs. The winner, of course, being crowned top dog. That's a shame. We've run out of pictures.
That's a shame. It's too soon for that story to end. So this guy is...
I love him.
I do too, because...
I will do nothing but watch him when I move there.
Same. But I love him because he hates these puns. They're terrible. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So this time it's gone a step too far. Mm-hmm. So now he has to talk about some kind of dog show again. And he's had it, and he's going to literally show you the teleprompter so you can see what fresh...
Do you think his producers are intentionally giving him dog stories?
I mean, I would.
No, yeah.
I would if it was me. But he's going to show you his life and how much it sucks because he has to read these puns.
Now, I just want to show you what I have to deal with because in a moment we're going to have the weather. I just want to show you what I have to read right now. If camera fire can swing around a bit so we can just have a look at this, because what it says...
So now he's directing a different camera to come over and take a shot of the teleprompter.
...is for... It's spelt fur one day only. I'm just going to keep this shot up so you know what I have to put up with, but for one day only, Holyrood has gone to the dogs for the Scottish Parliament's Dog of the Year contest. Wait for this. Here are the competitors battling it out to become... top dog, that's a familiar phrase, or leave with their tail between their legs. In a positively tough field, competitive field has whittled down to the top three, with Sadie and her owner, Jeremy Balfour, claiming the prize. Let's go back to the autocue. A rough day for everyone else.
I trained for this.
He said, I trained for this.
He's got to be real fun at parties.
Here's what I'm going to say, Bean, is that there's no way he makes it till you get there.
He'll either resigned or taken his...
Clownvis is in the building.
We are not worthy, you guys.
Not at all.
I'm just thinking about the red letter days in the long history of the Kevin Bean Show. There have just been a few days, like when we had the great Johnny Cash in here.
Yeah.
When we had Commander Jim Lovell from Apollo 13 in here. And I just think there's no way we can be in the same room, breathing the same air, interviewing this person on our little radio show. And today is one of those days. Clownvis, welcome to the program.
Wow. Thank you, guys. Thank you very much. It's really a pleasure to be here. A legendary show.
It's our pleasure, and we want to thank your manager Betty, who tipped us off to your existence.
She's my agent, but yeah,
agent, that's Betty, yeah. She called in when we were talking about people who have raised in clown houses, and she told us about clown houses.
great topic. By the way.
People that were raised by clowns,
right. Some of them in houses,
clown houses,
yeah. Or tents, yeah.
Sure.
And we have gone
clown cars.
We've got such a deep dive on the magic of clownvis. How long have you been doing what you're doing, clownvis?
Well, first of all, thank you guys for I really appreciate you.
Sure.
It's been a long time I've been doing this, man. Over 10 years now. I don't really count, you know, but it's been a long time coming my whole life, really, to get to the point where the show is what it is these days.
Mm-hmm. And it's magic, it's comedy, it's singing. Was that the plan at the beginning? Did you always have this multimedia act planned, or did it just gradually you add it as you went?
Definitely had the... those were the elements that created what I wanted to do, mm-hmm. which originally was just play birthday parties and nursing homes and stuff. You know? I just wanted to get paid on the weekends.
You have
you know?
To dream yeah. big.
I guess it would be important for people who didn't hear the original segment to explain that Clownvis is a mashup of a clown and Elvis.
Yes, mm-hmm. correct.
Both of those things in one. Mm-hmm. What is the origin story of Clownvis? How does this begin?
Well, like I said, I wanted to make about $200 every weekend, mm-hmm. so I thought, what can I do to perform, at a store opening or a birthday party or a nursing home or something simple on
Did
every
you
weekend?
Think clown first? Just like clown alone?
To tell you the truth, I thought clown or Elvis, and I wasn't I wasn't that good at either of them.
Okay, good. Good.
And so amazing. I figured if I could, you know, throw in the, the mashup and get some anonymity, and it kind of grew from itself right then and there, you know.
And were you always a singer, or did that come
definitely.
With... Okay.
Yeah, definitely. Singing is what I love to do. So.
Okay.
He's Elvis.
Well, it would appear that under the mask, if you do a little bit of research, not that I would ever out who it is, but I'm saying, like, it does seem like you know a lot of musicians. You're kind of in the scene slightly.
I definitely walk within the world of musicians and now, comedy and
yeah.
everything. So it's great. It works in a whole lot of worlds, and I'm blessed for that.
His hair is incredible.
His makeup is
incredible.
So
everything's very intense and beautiful.
And I'm also very blessed because I just wake up like this.
And you consider that blessed?
Well, depends on who you ask.
I gotcha. Okay.
Now, Clownvis, I won't bore you by spending a lot of time on this, but you were doing Clownvis already, and at some point you got the invitation to be on America's Got Talent. And that was really where your career caught fire because Piers Morgan said you're the worst contestant in the history of the program, right?
Yeah, I was proud of that. That was a nice title.
Yeah, coming from the
from
worst
him?
Person yeah. in the world.
Yeah, where's he at?
Pretty good.
So what did that do for your career? Was it almost overnight success after the AGT?
Yeah, it really was. I mean, things have been rolling in since then. You know, people got the idea of not really what I do. The appearance didn't really show what I do on stage.
Yeah, they gave you 13 seconds.
Yeah,
that's why.
They didn't even give me a chance to look bad, which was fantastic. But no, it really did. You know, it helped set the tone for what I do, I guess, and really got the phone ringing and opened a lot of doors.
Have there been times where maybe clowns have been in the news for not great reasons, like luring kids into the woods or the It movie, where it maybe hasn't been easy to be a clown?
Well, yeah, every single day, really. A lot of people don't like clowns. But especially a couple summers ago, there was an epidemic of people seeing clowns on the side of the road and
yeah.
stuff.
Mm-hmm.
No real crimes committed or anything.
And
but,
no real but evidence.
But it's
yeah.
not
yeah.
Yeah.
It
was
well.
Just, it was just yeah. like a clown scare.
Yeah.
And that was tough, boy. I remember being, I was doing a gig somewhere, waiting in a car, you know, down, I can't remember the city, but I was waiting in a car dressed like this. And
how do you sit in a car with that hair?
I had to lean the seat back.
Okay.
And a group of people walked by, and they kind of saw me. And they all kind of start clamoring. I think, oh, my God, they're going to call the police on me. Or worse, just, you know, take me out mob style. Because really, at that point, the police were saying, if you see a clown...
Kill him.
They said, don't...
I don't think they said that.
They were putting out tweets saying, if you see a clown, don't kill him. Just call us. Just call the police. Which is still... I mean, I'm allowed
it's
to walk
insane.
My dog and go to the park like anybody else.
Like
you know?
That, though? Do you do it like that?
Well, sure,
okay,
yeah. I mean,
all right.
I'm not going to put on a costume to go walk my dog.
Also, I don't feel like I see clown first. Does that make any sense? Like, if I see
clown
a dog on the street, I see Elvis first. Then
oh,
I go,
sure.
oh, he's also
because
a clown.
Because of the hair.
Yeah, and the jumpsuit. He wears
yeah.
the full jumpsuit.
And clowns are people.
Are they?
He's not wrong. Yeah.
Are they people?
In a lot of ways.
In a lot of ways.
We're talking to Cloud Miss here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Has a couple of local gigs coming up, including tonight at Alex's Bar in Long Beach. Tickets available at alexsbar.com. How is it possible to see the King of the Clowns for just $5, Clownvis?
Yeah, we wanted to make this a special deal because I love Alex's Bar. It's a very fantastic place. Mm-hmm. And we got a couple of bands on the bill. We said, let's make this a no-brainer that we can get everybody out. It's a $5 ticket, boy, and that's you can't beat that.
You can't beat that at all. And then Saturday, you're going to be doing a comedy show at Dynasty Typewriter in Los Angeles with a bunch of other comics.
That place is great.
Yeah. That place is fantastic. The hottest place in town right now.
It really is.
Describe your show for folks who have never seen the Clownvis live experience.
Well, sure, yeah. I have a whole catalog of songs that I'll blow through. Mm-hmm. And I do a little bit of magic, and there's elements of stand-up comedy in it. And I play some acoustic guitar, and I overall connect with the audience and try to make it a magical experience and just different than what you'd get at any other show. You know?
Sure.
And now we all love songs like Baracos Tacos, but will you do any of your Christmas songs? Which I'm going to say those hold a special place
thank
in my heart.
Thank you. Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, I crowbar them in all year long.
Nice.
They're too good to sit on the shelf for 11 months.
Excellent.
We have to take a break. Clownvis is here. By the way, clownvismafia.com is the website, on Twitter at Clownvis. Same for Instagram. We need to take a break because we're out of time for this segment, but you're doing the Gathering of the Juggalos.
I am, yes.
And our friend Jensen, sitting there to your right, has also done the Gathering.
I've performed there.
Is that right?
That's right.
As have you, Clownvis. So I think there's some stories to be told at one of America's great gatherings. So Clownvis is here. We'll take a quick break. More with our guests right after this on The World. We are honored by an in-studio appearance from Clownvis, the King of the Clowns, here on the world-famous K-Rock. He has two dates this week in Southern California, including Long Beach tonight at Alex's Bar. And then on Saturday, you'll be at the Dynasty Typewriter in Los Angeles. Get all the details at clownvismafia.com. Clownvis, you know what I was just thinking about?
What's that?
Kevin and I have been doing this radio show for 30 years, believe it or not.
Wow.
And in our first week on the air here, we had Elvez in.
We did. Oh, yeah. He's a great.
Great Elvis impersonator.
Very, sure.
Totally made it his own, right? The Hispanic Elvis. Mm-hmm. And here we are three decades later with Clownvis on our show. And it's just...
It's a theme.
It's just amazing to me the power of Elvis Presley, who's now been dead longer than he was alive. That 30 years apart, we have two high-profile Elvis impersonators. You think there'll ever come a time where there will not be people dressing as the king?
No, I think it'll live on, you know. And as you know, as an Elvis fan, I love to see his memories celebrated. But at the same time, things need to evolve and change so younger generations can appreciate things, and other other cultures and things outside of what Elvis did can appreciate.
And that's why you brought in the clown.
That's why I did that. Yep.
Right. Well, it's a beautiful tribute to Mr. Presley.
I'm sure he'd love it.
Have you ever gotten any reaction from anyone inside Elvis's circle? Like, does Priscilla know you exist, for instance?
Not from the Presley estate or anything, but there has been some blowback from impersonators that take it all very seriously.
Oh, you're kidding. No, Elvis impersonators get angry at you?
Can you imagine? They think I'm goofing.
I think your love is real.
That's awesome.
It comes from a place of love, definitely.
All right, let's talk ICP.
Yeah.
Sure. It was announced this week that you are going to be appearing at the 20th Annual Gathering of the Juggalos, which, as usual, is in Indiana. You played it before. Jensen, you played The Gathering before.
I have. But this year,
I want to hear you guys talk about The Gathering.
Well, first, I would like to address that this year it's called the Supa Gathering. Because it's the 20th anniversary. But in all jokes aside, ICP has put together one of the more impressive lineups over 20 years. Just to give you some of the names this year that will be performing alongside Clownvis, obviously The Posse, Bone Thugs and Harmony, The Ghetto Boys, Morris Day and the Time, Gilbert Gottfried, CNC Music Factory.
Wow.
I mean, you are in for a full day, and both of us have performed it before. You've had great experiences because you are a clown.
Yes.
I know some people haven't had good experiences. I felt it was the really, really kind. I thought it was like a very sweet audience, at least to us.
It truly is, you know, and I'm sure everybody has individual experiences, but it is 100% a loving and accepting community of people,
absolutely,
the Juggalos.
It's funny because you see the pictures, and everybody looks all wild and crazy and ridiculous, but...
Yeah, well,
they're not that way at all.
I originally showed up at night, so they flew us in and we got in at night, and it was a horror movie. Everywhere you turn, people were like lighting off fireworks onto each other.
Yes.
People were offering drugs to each other.
Yes.
A lot of optional clothing. I saw a baby stroller, which terrified me.
Yes. This says horror story, and I see Kevin's eyes lighting up.
This sounds
this is
awesome.
A dream.
Shoot fireworks at each other?
If you want a thrill,
I'm
the initial descent into the gathering of the Juggalos, your first time, is a real eye-opener. You really don't know what's coming next. But, Jensen, I think like you were saying, the next day, or you know, once you're in it for a while, you know, and the sun comes out and the birds start tweeting, you realize what a beautiful place it is.
Absolutely. I agree. Once I saw it in daytime, and once you start to get the lay of the land, you're like, oh, this is anarchy and great. Like, it's actually kind of a very sweet moment where people just get, you know, forget about their jobs during the week and just go be weirdo ICP fans.
Yes, it's whoop, it's whoop, peace. Whoop. Whoop, whoop. It's peace, love, and hatchet wielding clowns.
Yes.
And this year you're just like announcing people and also performing?
I am doing my set, and then I'm going to be hosting the main stage.
Wow.
And then I'm doing a few other things. I'm also going to be Violent J from the Insane Clown Posse. He's getting in the wrestling ring, which is a big deal.
Okay.
They're wrestlers. And he's asked Clownvis to be his manager, so I got that to think
about.
Wow.
Yeah. A lot of different hats.
A lot of different things. So it's exciting, and I'm so excited about the gathering.
There is a funny picture of me talking to, I think, Shaggy. I think I'm talking to Shaggy, and I'm wearing my, you know, like a button-up shirt and you know, black jeans. And I was like, oh, I want to get that picture. And so I would search the internet for it, and I realized it's the header picture for Juggalos for Bernie. I didn't vote for Bernie Sanders. I wasn't there on behalf of Bernie Sanders, but they found a picture of a guy who kind of looked like he was in business.
I just became the face of
Juggalos.
I'm just happy there's a Juggalos for Bernie.
Yeah,
I mean, there's three factions. It's fantastic.
It's your boy.
So it's really like a family event, though, because it's also been around so long, you're probably at the point now where little kids who went to the gathering are now grown-ups coming to the gathering.
Definitely,
right?
Yeah. It's a whole new generation of Juggalos.
That's amazing. Tickets are on sale now for that, by the way, if you want to head out to Indiana. Jensen, I can't believe you're not going back. Kevin, I can't believe you're not going.
Come with me, guys.
I really do want to go back.
Sounds awesome.
And I got some room.
The other thing, too, is when you go in, no one searches you and there's no metal detectors. So I asked the guy, I was like, what can't you bring in? And he was like, There's nothing.
There's no corporate sponsors. There's no security. There's no nothing.
Yeah, the only security is people who are there.
Yeah,
like, security of each other.
Yeah.
But I said, would you stop someone with a gun? No. Would you stop someone with a hatchet? He said, well, then no one would come in. He's like, everybody's got a hatchet here. I was like, all right, bud. I'm just going to close my eyes and walk in.
Yeah.
I think we have to broadcast from Indiana, you guys.
Sorry. Really should. Yeah, send someone out to do a field report. They can sleep in my tent.
You'll be shocked to hear they move it around a lot.
They move it around a lot.
They do, yeah. You'd be shocked.
Cloudvis is playing in town at the Alex's Bar in Long Beach tonight. You can get those tickets at alexsbar.com for just $5. And then the Los Angeles date, you can get the information at clownvismafia.com. Before we let you go, with our thanks, by the way, we couldn't help but notice you brought in your guitar today, Cloudvis.
I did.
What's this about?
Well, I'm such a big fan of the Kevin and Bean Show and what you guys have done here over the last 30 years. So I wrote you a little song, if that's all right.
About us.
Oh, my gosh.
It's about you guys. Yeah.
All right.
I figure I wouldn't bore you guys with one of my hits, you know. I'd write something new.
All right.
Very kind.
Well, I wake up every morning, rub my eyes, and I start the day. I pour myself a cup of coffee and eat a plate of eggs. I flip on my FM radio as I muddle through my routine. And a smile comes on my face when I hear old Kevin and Bean. Kevin and Bean, Kevin and Bean, Allie and Jensen and the whole damn team. Hey, party people, we're making a scene, talking about old Kevin and Bean. You know, there was a time when people said FM radio was dead.
Is that time now?
Well, if you look at me and what I'm doing here, I think they spoke too soon when they said that nothing special can happen on FM radio, man. Not with the internet and satellites. But here we are on the Kevin and Bean Show, and K-Rock is doing all right. Everybody, Kevin and Bean, Kevin and Bean, Allie and Jensen and the whole damn team. Hey, party people, we're making a scene. Talking about old Kevin and Bean.
All right, listen to that.
That's for you guys.
I teared up a little bit.
That was awesome.
That was beautiful.
I don't know how we do anything after that. It's only BC and AC before Clownvis and after Clownvis now.
Thanks, guys.
Clownvis, I'm about to say that you have left the building, but again, with our thanks, we really appreciate you coming in. Please keep in touch, my
Go
friend.
See him, everybody.
If you can make it to the shows, come on out. Alex's and Dynasty Typewriter, two great shows.
1 hour from right now, Dan Aykroyd in the studio.
I can't wait.
So excited.
So excited.
Not only that, in about a half an hour, we're going to talk to a Kevin and Bean listener. Remember yesterday, we were telling you about that woman in Britain who had 2 minutes' notice that she was about to give birth to a baby, had no idea she was pregnant.
And we said, Jensen, how could that happen?
Jensen mocked that as a man who has an 8-month pregnant wife at home. Mm-hmm. Like, how is that even possible to not know? Well, one of our Kevin and Bean listeners contacted us. She had the exact same thing happen to her, and she's going to tell us the story in her own words coming up at 7:30. Here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. I saw an article in the Washington Post this morning that said, and this is a stunning statistic to me, 1 in 6 residents of our nation's capital are using those little scooters.
1 in 6?
1 in 6.
Wow.
You think they're everywhere on the streets of Los Angeles? Can you imagine what that's like in D.C.? You know, people are trying to figure out how to smart mobility is what the movement is called, trying to use fewer cars, trying to get around without having to park and
it's
stuff.
It's also traffic, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Have to sit in traffic.
It makes sense. Well, scooters are not the only way to go because, as we mentioned to you last week on the show, pogo sticks are coming, you guys. Pogo sticks.
What a great idea. You're stuck in traffic and a pogo stick goes by you. Awesome.
And also, they're so user-friendly.
Right.
Kevin, you would feel like an a-hole if you were sitting there in traffic on Wilshire Boulevard and a pogo stick went by you faster than you were able to drive.
Yeah, it just was flipping me off as he went.
Well, the CEO and founder of Kangaroo, Adam Mickelson, is on the phone with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. This is not a joke. Adam is who he claims to be, and we have many questions about Kangaroo. How are you, Adam?
I'm pretty good. It's Friday, and it's starting to become afternoon over in Sweden. So,
all right.
Sun is shining.
Are you in Stockholm right now?
No, we're actually based in southern Sweden, up in Malmo.
But I
will be in Stockholm. We'll be in Stockholm next week. So I'm
okay.
Kind of,
what about the rest of your schedule? Adam, do you pogo stick much in Sweden?
I would say. I mean, we're looking to take it back because it's been quite quiet on the pogo stick markets. It basically were. The pogo stick became like the Christmas gift of the year, like back in 94 or something when I was about 5 years old. So I haven't been jumping so much since then. But,
okay.
You know, oh, yeah, that Christmas that pogo sticks ruled the nation. I remember that.
Sorry, but I just want to clarify again. How long then has it been since you've been on a pogo stick?
I mean, since before we started to develop Kangaroo, it was probably, 25 years.
So 25 years ago you did it, and then you decided 25 years later to start a company and didn't try it out again?
Yeah. I mean, for sure, the latest couple of months, I've been, you never forget the pogo stick skills from your childhood. So I mean, I've definitely, started to jump around again, but in between there,
is it about a pogo stick, Adam? Let's cut right to the chase here. That you think makes more sense than a little e-scooter that are already so popular around the world?
Yeah, so basically, it's not about actually per se competing with the e-scooters, but what we want to do with the pogo stick is basically to spread joy. Have you ever seen a sad person jumping on a pogo stick?
Only when they wipe out.
That's kind of weird.
Have you ever seen a sad person jumping on a pogo stick? It's my next tattoo.
Yeah, that does sound like an Alanis Morissette lyric.
That's a great question.
So people can get around and be happy doing it, enjoy it, and have a little childlike wonder and joy in their life.
Yeah. That was kind of the starting point because I think, I just turned 30 and, I think me and basically all of us is sometimes kind of missing their childhood days. And, when you're at the office and stuff, you have to be like super serious. So, jumping on a pogo stick is both healthy because you burn, you burn more calories.
It's really difficult after a while.
Running.
Yeah. Adam, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Have you never been to San Francisco?
Yeah, I have family up in Sonoma Valley, so I've been there like 10 times.
Have you seen the streets and the incline?
Streets are, you know, there's a lot of vertical action there in San Francisco.
Like, why not try this out in like a Nebraska, somewhere flat, is what I'm saying.
Not that this is a bad idea.
I mean, basically our strategy for the Bay Area and San Francisco is more about, you know, for example, in and around, you know, Golden Gate Park and City Park. So it's not about that we actually, you know, we're not that delusional that we see people, you know, actually using them the last mile transportation. It's more about, the last meter transportation, if you will.
I'm going to be honest. That's the first time.
The last meter. So what you do is you take the e-scooter, 24 miles, and then for the last meter, you just get on the pogo stick and rip right to the end.
Yeah. Something like that. I mean,
that's a good plan.
I was scared for a minute. He was delusional, but then he said he wasn't. So he's not.
What other projects are in development right now for your company?
Because we want to invest.
So basically, we do run an advertising and communication agency. So we. But
are you the ones that did the personal relaxation tent?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
And explain that?
For sure.
It's just a tent at your office that you can go and hang out in?
It's basically a relaxation tent for grown-ups. So basically you just you pop it up and you go in there and it's dark and you can, you know, have some alone time, do some meditation or just have a
medication.
Is that what they call it in Sweden? Meditation?
Yes, doing some meditation.
I don't
speak Swedish, but are you hiring? Is there any possibility I can get a job working with Kangaroo?
We're currently in discussion with a couple of VCs right now, so we are probably going to need people in the U.S. and, you know,
I'm moving to Malmo.
A positive guy, so
listen, nobody on this planet would pogo stick better than Bean.
That's right.
I
am moving to Malmo,
years.
Sweden, guys. Adam, before we let you go, and you're very kind to jump on, my friend Kevin here, I'm telling you, you don't know him, and you've just met him on the phone. He would be the perfect face of your American operations. If you need a model who looks great on a pogo stick, please consider our man Kevin for your print and your television campaigns. He would be phenomenal.
Yeah, for sure. We would definitely do that.
Oh, that sounds like a lie. I got to be honest.
That sounds like the brush off, Kevin.
Come on, Adam. We're in Hollywood. We've heard that before. Sounds great. We'll get back to you.
Kevin on a pogo stick, we would never stop watching, right?
I mean, I am basically a supermodel.
Even
if he falls on his head, it's not going to affect anything.
Yeah, no one would notice.
That's a bad spokesperson.
All right, so what's the rollout here, Adam? When can we expect to see our first pogo stick on the streets here in America?
So we're probably looking at mid or late August, if everything goes.
How about a little sooner, man?
No, we want it right at the height of summer.
Only a couple months away.
Because nobody's going to be sweating that last meter getting to work.
August in San Francisco is delightful. All right, Adam, you are a treasure, my friend. Kevin will look forward to posing for your photographs for the brochure, and I'll be
photos, whatever you want.
Whatever you want, yeah.
And
you
I'll be knocking on your door at Malmo in a few weeks here for a job. Thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
I want to work for Adam Mickelson. I want to be part of his company.
How can you not?
Allie dropped a real bomb on us about another company he worked on.
Yeah,
another project.
Well, he's the head of the ad agency that has pitched huggable trench coats, the Paws Pod, which we talked about, the relaxation tent. They also have pitched mustache protectors. So it's almost like his ad
now
agency.
Now I want to work for him more.
Just pitches stuff that gets a ton of media exposure that never really follow through.
Then they do nothing.
However, it says that the tents are sold out.
I'm pushing for Adam to return to the Kevin and Bean
Absolutely.
Show.
Agreed.
Yeah.
I think anything he wants to pitch, he brings his us. First
he's,
stop.
He could be a genius, you guys. He's the next Elon Musk. We need to strap ourselves onto this rocket ride.
I just want to be part of the ride early, you know? Like, let us in.
You work with somebody for a long time and you think you've heard all their stories, but Dave got us into a conversation off the air the other day that I think is worth talking about, and it seems to be pretty universal. You get that first credit card as a young person and you're so excited that you go out and just pack it, man. You just have to use every dollar available to you. And then you pay it off for the rest of your life.
I remember the distinct feeling of someone made a mistake because they're sending me a credit card. Right. Like, that's on them.
It feels like free money.
It really does.
Yeah, it does, because you get to buy stuff without actually having any cash in your pocket for the first time in your life. And I guess the through line, at least for you and Dave Jensen, is they went after college students, right?
Yeah, so when I was at USC, basically you would walk the quad and there would be these tents put up and they'd be like, get a free shirt. Mm-hmm. And you'd see it and you're like, I love that. That's a great Trojan shirt. That's a cool basketball shirt. How can I get one of those? Oh, you just sign up for a Visa. No money? No. Okay. And then you sign up immediately for a Visa. And then they go, oh, there's a $2,000 limit. $2,000? Just do I get money for the shirt? And they go, yeah. And you go, oh. And then you just go out and buy $2,000 worth of stuff. Mm-hmm. And when they tell
you, then you pay it off in 12 years.
Well, yeah. And when they say to you, you know, 15% interest, you go, that's nothing. That's nothing, because you're an idiot. You're 17 or 18.
Yeah, I still don't know what it means.
Yeah, and then they go, and then we compound it. It's compounded. Compounding sounds good. You know, you don't even put together anything, you know, and then you're stuck with, you know, and then you get $2,000 the next month, the next. And there were tons of kids that I grew up with who found themselves destroyed in those first three months.
I think you also, the compounding thing is definitely a key component that is hard to understand, because you think, oh, all I have to do is pay the minimum, which is like $39 a month. All I have to do is pay the minimum, and in no time, that $2,000 is paid off. And if you pay the minimum, literally, it will take you like 15 years to pay off $2,000.
Yeah, you're just paying off the interest, basically.
You're just paying off the interest, right. We're going to take your calls on this topic, by the way. If you have stories of your first or early credit cards and the trouble you got into, what was the thing? What was the free thing you got when you got the credit card, and what couldn't you wait to go out and buy? That's what we want to hear. All right, Dave, you started this. What's your story?
Yeah, Jensen got a good deal. I mean, he got a USC t-shirt.
Yeah.
And
$2,000 a month.
Yeah, but your interest rate was great.
Yeah.
I mean, what? The shirt I got was, you know, I went to PCC, so they have the guys on the quads. I got a Kentucky travel shirt. So it was a white
company.
T-shirt. Yes.
What?
And that was the credit
card. That doesn't even make sense.
Yeah.
What was the credit card?
Kontiki. That was the brand at the time.
Oh, okay.
So they're like, here you go. And it was approval on site. It wasn't even like, hey, wait for the mail. Nope. You got it on site.
Oh,
so
no.
A couple weeks later, you get a credit card. Boom. What do I go by? First purchase, a video game for $60.
Well done.
Yeah, I didn't have
a
system.
I don't know why. I'm the only one.
What? I didn't have a system. I didn't have a gaming system.
What did you do, just stare at the disc?
I was like, no, this is going to get me to buy the gaming system.
Okay.
Never bought it. Never bought the system. So the game, it was like one of those
There's a real
games.
Breakdown Dave, between game and console,
yeah,
though.
Dave, yeah, you deserve that debt.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, in the long run, like Jensen said, he got a $2,000 limit. I had a $5,000 limit.
Oh, no. That's trouble for
so
a kid.
So this $5,000 limit went really fast because, you know, college student, free money.
Well, when you're in college, you feel like $5,000 is all the money in the world.
Yes. And books are expensive. So I was like, oh, no problem. I could get the books this year, pay for my classes. Cool. I put a lot of college stuff on it. But then just got into trouble with, oh my God, I got to pay this now. Because like Bean said, the minimum payment was $30, but not when you have $5,000 debt. It gets a little higher.
Yeah.
And at that time, you know, working at a popcorn store that I was at, it didn't pay the
that
bill.
That didn't pay it off
so,
quickly?
You know, little by little, it's like, oh, missed a payment here, late charge, boom. Missed two payments, the minimum payment balloons.
Oh,
and
no.
Then at a certain point, I just gave up and said, I'm not going to pay it.
And what happened?
I'm not going to pay.
Right.
So, you know, creditors started calling.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And finally, I took the call and made a deal.
Yeah, you talked it down, right?
Yeah, talked it down. So from about, because with all the late fees and stuff, it ballooned up to, I think, like almost $10,000.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Ended up, like, making the deal, paying about $6,000, and then clean.
Not a bad bargain.
That's not bad.
And credit score went up.
What? That's the point. Yeah. So many kids in college aren't realizing every time they miss that payment that their credit is getting dinged and dinged and dinged. And a lot of people don't come back from that.
I wouldn't have known to call them and say I'm not paying, and then I wouldn't have known that that they would take less. Yeah, I wouldn't have known that then.
Creditors will they'll bargain.
Yeah.
Oh, dude. Yeah. If you're willing, take that creditor call, because if you say, listen, this is what I'll pay, they'll take it.
I found this out like 2 years ago, and it's amazing.
Also, the idea is they'd rather claim some money than when you claim bankruptcy.
Right.
At least they'll get the $6,000, and they don't have to keep calling you.
Now, we're going to go to a Chris Line 1 here in just a second to get our call started at 1-800-520-1067. But let me ask you guys, do you think that is the credit card company's plan, is that they know that that will happen if they give a credit card to an 18-year-old?
Absolutely.
100%.
Yes. Yeah, they're counting on all those fees and all those late
target
payments.
College kids.
They were at all of our colleges every single day
on the
clock.
No, but you could argue that they target colleges because that's when people are old enough to start having credit cards and they're looking to make customers for life.
Yeah,
if you sign up for a Visa card, they hope you'll keep a Visa card for the rest of your
life. And Spuds McKenzie was for people who were 21 and over.
Yeah, no. Bean, I was 3 months out of high school. Yeah. And, you know, I was a young graduate, I had just turned 18.
And trust me, they'd go to high schools if they could.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Chris in Montebello. Good morning.
Hey, what's up, guys?
This story sounds familiar to you, does it, Chris?
What's that?
I said, this story sounds familiar to you. You've lived it.
Yeah, it's funny. I was in construction with my dad, and I went on my own, and I went to Home Depot to get a credit card, and they go, hey, but, you know, you get $3,000 worth of money on your card. I go, all right, cool. I spent the whole $3,000, I mean, right away. I mean, about all kinds of stuff. Even to this day, they still send me stuff from Home Depot. Oh, you owe like $9,000 or whatever.
What?
Yeah, they still send me the stuff. They still send me stuff from Home Depot. And then they try to do a credit card again. They go, well, you still owe us money.
Oh. Yeah, I think they're still sending you stuff because that's your bill.
Yeah, 15 years, and they still are trying to get
money. Right, but I think what Ali's point is they're not the bad guy here. You owe them money.
They are the bad guy as well, but you're dumb.
Yeah, I just said, I'm not going to pay you guys. Forget it.
He's just not going to pay him. Nothing to do with the credit card.
Chris 2020, right?
Yeah. Yep, Chris 2020. So that's how credit cards work. I've been doing it wrong this whole time. 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your credit card horror stories when we return on K-Rock.
They just dropped that in.
Kevin and Bean.
John. Wait a second.
Hey, don't do that.
How about not doing that? Wait, are we being sabotaged?
We are. Our commercials are telling our listeners to go elsewhere.
Yeah, another station.
What's happening?
Don't do that.
Stop doing that.
Guys, I don't even want you to know the Michael Cohen thing's going on.
Although we're technically watching it right now.
Well, we're taking calls, dude.
1-800-520-1067. We have struck a nerve with many of our listeners. They've been where Dave was. They've been where Jensen was. They got that credit card too young and didn't know what to do with it. I think we're going to. Is it in Inglewood, line 5? Is it pronounced Dania? Do I have that right?
Yes, that's perfect. Thank you. Good morning,
Thank
guys.
Thank you. Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for joining us. What happened to you?
Dude, so college credit cards are dangerous. I signed up at the UCLA campus over 25 years ago. I ended up getting approved for 5 credit cards.
five different credit cards.
I know. I got like a cool little hat, a shirt, all that good stuff. But throughout the years, one of those cards ended up getting credit increased. My limit ended up being $15,000.
Oh my gosh.
And I ended up maxing that out along with the other cards. So, needless to say, my monthly minimum payment for all of my cards was $700 a month.
Oh, wow. No.
How did that story end? How do you get out of that?
I was in over my head, and I ended up finding this company that helped me consolidate my credit cards.
Great. Mm-hmm.
And I ended up paying them off in about like 3 to 4 years, and I'm traumatized. Like, I'm afraid to sign up for credit cards now.
Yeah. Understandable.
How cool were the hats, though? Were they cool shirts and hats?
They were really cool.
I knew it.
You are delightful, Nadia. Thank you for sharing your story. We appreciate it. I mean, look, the thing is that credit cards are good to have. I think you should have a credit card.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to try to pay it off every month.
That's a good tip.
I was told by somebody, I forget growing up, but they were a very knowledgeable person told me, they're not always credit cards. Use it as a convenience card. just when you don't have the cash, use it and then pay it off because you have it. But if when you start getting these interest rates and stuff, it's like you can get in a hole and there's no
getting
out.
Let's go to Mark and I'm sorry, not Mark. Where we Mario, please. Arlita, line six. You guys are talking about the T-shirts and the hats you got for signing up for a credit card. Wait to hear what Mario got.
Hey, Mario.
Hey, what's going on, Jensen? I understand. David, I understand. When I got my first credit card walking in campus, first of all, the shirts didn't fit me because I'm a big guy. Second, I was like, man, I want a PS2 because studying, you know, you want some relax time.
Right.
Hell yeah.
My mom didn't want to give me the money. She was like, no, you got to work about school, whatever. So I'm like, the hell with it. I'm going to get this card. They gave me $2,000. I bought a PS2 and I bought every single game that was out on the market that day.
Jesus.
So I maxed out the card. As soon as I got the card through the mail, maxed it out the following day.
Nice. One day.
No, it's not nice. It's bad. The story ends
bad. I know it's bad. I'm just saying that's amazing work.
The thing is that this is from my mom telling me, do not get a credit card.
Yeah.
They bait you. Don't make the – if you do get a credit card, do not make the monthly payments. Always make more.
Yeah.
Because you're going to end up paying – oh, it's, I finished college, and I think I just finished paying it off.
But, Mario, has she ever played NHL hockey, dude?
Right? Maybe she doesn't know.
Does she know what any of these games are about?
I love that we are taking advice from a guy who maxed out a $2,000 credit card within 10 hours of getting it, too. Thank you for the call, sir. Appreciate that. Let's go to Mark and Chino, line four. Mark's got a little bit of experience from the other side of the phone. Mark, you worked for a call center for credit card customer service?
Hey, good morning, guys. Yes, I do, for one of the bigger banks of the country.
Okay, so this is right now. These stories are very common. Then you hear tearful freshmen and sophomores calling you up, going, "I can't pay. What do I do?"
It's exactly that. And what's even worse is those special balance transfer cash advance offers that they offer you guys.
I even forgot about that.
What's that?
So basically,
you rack up your purchases at a special interest rate, let's say your 0% intro, and then they say, oh, if you want, why don't you go ahead and get cash out at the ATM from your credit card? Okay, they don't tell you that's at a good 25%.
No.
And that gets paid last.
That's the
so
cash
all of
advantage.
Your payments go towards that little 0%, and then the 25 is just sitting there collecting interest, and that 15 years turns into a solid 27.
Oh my gosh.
That's unbelievable.
That's now, basically, you're getting loaned money. It's no longer like a debit card or an ATM. Like, they are giving you loans at very high rates.
Mark, are we right that credit card companies go after college students to target them?
Oh, absolutely. Jensen, I was probably one of those guys at those booths. And those
you son of a bitch.
How dare you? I have a bunch of Trojan shirts I want you to take back.
Does it? Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it, Mark. Does it seem to you guys, and I don't know what the right number is, but that anything over 20% almost seems unfair?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, how do you come back from that?
It is, but if people will do it, they can get away with it.
They should have been. I mean, you shouldn't be able to market, you know, this kind of like free money to 18-year-olds. That seems leading the witness a bit. Like that, you shouldn't be able to. It's kind of fraud to say to kids, oh, it's free money, or not allow them to know it's cash withdrawal. Like, or
I mean, it is in the small print, but who reads the small print?
Yeah.
College students, usually.
Raul says on the Kevin Bean Twitter account, at Kevin Bean, when I was 18, I got a $5,000 MasterCard. Did you guys know that massage parlors accept credit cards? Because they do. Maxed it out in less than a month. Took me 10 years to pay it off, but still, totally worth it. Okay.
All right.
Thank you,
good.
Raul. You want to go to Jesse then, San Pedro, line six, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning, Jesse.
Good morning. How are you?
We are good. Thanks.
What's up?
Nothing. Just got my first credit card when I was in 10th grade.
Application came in for my brother.
Wait, did you say 10th grade?
Yeah, the application came in for my older brother. I just filled it out with my info, and it came in 3 weeks later.
You were under 18.
Yeah, for sure. I lied on my birthday.
Technically, maybe you should be watching the Michael Cohen case because that's fraud.
All right. So what did you do? What was the credit limit on it?
$250.
Okay.
Oh, all right. So what'd you do? How'd you blow it?
Yeah, I maxed everybody out at Straw Hat on the way home from school that day.
Wow.
And then how did you pay it off?
I sold some ganj later on, just paid it off, you know.
All right, Jesse.
So this guy's shady. Okay.
That got you shady? We now have gotten Jesse on two cases, selling ganj in 10th grade and fraud to the credit card company. Anything else you need to tell? Anything else you want to just tell us about? Confess?
No. That's
no, you're
it.
Good.
Kind of like led the way.
Good. Way to go.
All right. Good work.
Jesse's living his best life. Let's go to Justin Irvine. He's going to bring a little Las Vegas into the conversation. He's on line 7 up next on K-Rock.
Hey, Justin.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
We are good. Thank you.
What happened?
Well, pretty common story compared to the other ones. I was 18. I got a credit card offer in the mail. Seemed pretty reasonable, $250. Used it, paid it off, got another letter in the mail. Hey, you got $500. That happened several times till it was up to $10,000.
Oh.
Now, mind you, I was pretty responsible at the time. All things considered.
Get to the Vegas part.
So I meet this beautiful girl, right? And we decide we want to go to Las Vegas for the weekend. We go to Las Vegas for the weekend. I end up calling in sick for the entire week the next week. We spent 9 days in Las Vegas.
Oh.
I got $9,000 in cash advances. Yeah!
Oh, my God.
Which were at 29.99%.
Oh, my God. Justin.
I was making $22,000 per year. I literally thought I was going to have to rob a bank to pay it off.
All right, before we all get sad, how hot was this chick?
That's a good question.
I'm still with her today. It's been 12 years. We've been to hell and back, and I'd do it again for her.
This story just got sweet.
Right?
How did I start to become a fan of Justin?
It was the worst week of your life until it turned around and became a great life for you.
Correct.
Justin, how long did it take to pay off that cash advance?
Let's see. I paid it minimum payments for like 3 years, and then I got a loan from a family member to pay it off in whole. And then I just had to pay. So I had to pay the family member back just 5 years. But that was at no interest.
That helps a lot. Yeah.
All right. So the moral of the story, I guess, I'm just thinking back here, is go ahead and sell some weed. Go ahead and take a chick to Vegas. I mean, we got a lot of good advice out of this segment, I think.
Sure.
All right. We did Tal's What's Up. Yeah. And it turned out to be one of the most controversial subjects in the history of the show. Allie, recap Tal's What's Up, and then we'll talk spinoff.
It was Towelgate last weekend on Twitter, because people were talking about how many towels they owned, and people were saying that's way too much, oh, that's way too few. And then I brought up the fact that I had a conversation with friends that didn't even use a washcloth.
I wish you guys could see Allie's face right this second.
And then I find out that my coworker, Kevin, who I like and respect
liked,
as a human.
Liked and respected.
Is this past tense?
Is a stank-ass white man.
I'm not.
Stanky-ass white man.
I'm not. I'm actually quite fresh.
He doesn't use a washcloth for his butt. He uses his hand and sometimes just squirts like gel into his butt.
That was just a joke.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's not for cleaning.
But it took a lot of turns. People all week were sending me pictures of them at Target buying washcloths. Like, I've been changed. Like, it was phenomenal.
Yeah.
And then
spinoff happen?
Then I got this. Here is what the subject line says. Showers. What's up? Oh, no.
Let's not do. Are we doing showers? What's up?
This is from, she calls herself Loyal Listener Jen. She's a podcast listener in Washington State. She's a native Californian. She said the towels, what's up conversation was truly disturbing. Last year, I found out that some people shower facing the shower head and some people shower with their back to the shower head. What the F? Mind blown. I assumed there was only one way. Maybe it's a new what's up.
Which way?
She assumes that facing away from the shower head is the only way. And
I read
that and I was like, no, people face the shower.
You don't ever face the shower?
No, you face like to rinse and stuff, but most of the time.
For the most part.
Yeah.
Funny you say that, Chip, because I face the shower head.
You're a monster.
And only turn around when I need to get
a
shampoo or a soap.
That's then the opposite.
Then I'm back to the front. And then I only clean off my back for 5%, 5 to 6% of the shower, then back towards the head, and then I'm cleaning off.
I'm going to tell you this. I am Team Jensen. When I'm showering and I'm doing my shampoo, I'm facing
slow down.
The front.
Slow down.
Oh, Bean.
Right, you're facing the front,
I'm
right?
I'm facing the front.
Same.
The only time I turn my back to the shower head is when I'm rinsing off the shampoo or conditioner. So I would say 95% of the time I'm facing the shower
head. I'm the opposite of that then. Because I'm 90% of the time facing away.
Really?
You turn when you need to. When you wash your hair, I shave in the shower.
Yeah.
But then for the most part, you turn around.
But Allie, let me ask you and Jensen both, how are you not being assaulted by the water coming out of the shower head right onto your face if you're facing the shower all the
time?
Well,
face down helps me a lot because then I'm just sort of taking it on like the wind, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? Just sort of taking the water. Mm-hmm. And then I'll back up a bit and it'll go to chest.
It's all body, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily.
You can move in your shower? What?
and so, yeah, I stay away from a full attack, yes.
Yeah.
But it's mostly pretty good.
But I would think, and this is what, it's interesting to hear Jen's email to you, Allie, mm-hmm. because she had a vision how other people shower with no knowledge of how other people shower. She yeah. just assumed people do it the way she does it, right? Because right? very few of us know how other people shower because we're not there, okay? But my guess would be that most people do a little bit of both.
Right.
Based on
agreed.
What business they're doing.
Right.
I would think.
Well, I think most people... I do think most people are back to the shower head.
I'm probably 80-20 with the back to the shower head.
You think
yeah. 20
really
to the front.
The majority of people are back to the shower head?
I would think so. But huh. that, but I think they're not having as enjoyable of experience as we are.
I agree. I agree.
And let me say why. Because I think you're more in control when you're seeing everything that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
If you're back...
You're afraid that stuff's going to be going on you're not aware of?
What mystery is happening
out.
In your shower that you're afraid to miss?
That makes no sense.
I have to keep an eye on the door.
God, what?
I don't know what's going to happen.
That's the saddest thing ever.
You guys have way too much trust in your bathroom.
What kind of things do you think are going to happen?
I don't know, but I know that I'm more in control facing the shower.
In control of what, though?
Just in
general.
There's
just water.
Cleaning, being safe and secure.
Kevin, you
what's
mock.
What's safe and secure?
Hold on, Kevin. Okay. You mock, but when snakes come out of the shower head, Jensen is going to know about it in time to do something,
yeah,
and you're not.
You'll have your back turned, and you'll be like, cleaning my butt.
Right. And that snake's going right for your face.
Well, that's fine.
Because it's first thing that it'll hit.
That's fine. It's going to go for your butt because it's going to smell terrible.
It does not smell terrible.
It's going to remind him of his home. his stick-made bed.
Stinky-ass wife. Man.
How did this turn on me?
Oh no, now we have snakes in the shower and Kevin's butt. I think it's time to get out of this. Hey, Lego Movie 2 video game, you guys. Here's the way this is going to work. We're going to give you a copy of the game, and then immediately we'll do a grand prize drawing, and you will win an Xbox One S console. Hmm. How does that sound?
How about that?
1-800-520-1067. You're going to have to play a game. You're going to earn it, but it's going to be worth it. Call now. We'll do it right.
It's raining. I can't come in, you guys. It's raining out there, and traffic.
I thought you guys like had a rapport and stuff. Like he started working here. I thought I didn't know he would just like see rain and not show up.
Yeah.
Now, right, Adam was supposed to be here a week ago or
two weeks ago.
2 weeks ago, and it had rained a little. And my theory is that you opened the front door and you went, nope.
No, I was in my car.
In your driveway.
I was in my car, in my garage, next to my driveway, so you're partially correct. No, I'm not blaming it on Waze, but there is an emotional component to Waze.
Oh, sure.
That we've all experienced, like anyone who's had to do a show at the Irvine Improv, and you hop on the 134 or the 101 in Encino, and you drive for 8 feet, and it's get off on Havenhurst, right. Make a hard right. And you're like, what? I'm taking side streets to Irvine? Go down the alley where they filmed Starsky and Hutch. Right. And you're like, what? No, I haven't made it 8 feet. So
what did your waist say?
I got on the 210 out of La Cañada. I got on the 210, and it was like, get off on Chevy Chase and drive through Visconso Gardens. And it was pouring. And the waves just kept like spinning around. And I kept turning around. And eventually I got demoralized. I also was driving to the Culver City.
You were.
The medication. Oh,
that
no.
would have been so good.
Well, here's what happened. My assistant said, you're going to go to K-Rock on Wilshire. And I said, you mean in Culver City? And he's like, on Wilshire. And then you go to like Sirius XM on Wilshire like the next day. And I looked in my phone and he'd punched it in. And I said, oh, he screwed up this thing. And I wikied K-Rock. Right. I went online and I went, where is K-Rock?
Sure.
Where's the place I used
because
to work?
Because you knew it was Culver City.
And it said Culver City.
Sure.
If you go there now, it still says Culver City, so I was driving to the wrong
place.
Yeah,
no one is
anyway.
Updating radio Wikipedia at this point.
It's a good point.
Well, they're not even listening to radio.
What are the murderous stalkers going to do?
Yeah,
like,
true.
How are they going to get their hands yeah. around your neck?
How are they going to find Meg? Exactly.
Yeah.
No, you're right.
How's Booger Man going to choke Jimmy out?
That's a long time story. That was great.
I love that story because it encapsulates radio. Booger
Explain
Man.
It, yeah.
Yeah. So Jimmy, the sports guy then. Now,
for those of you
now
who don't
Jimmy
know,
Kimmel.
Adam Carolla was on our show for a long, long time. And at the same time, Jimmy was. Became mm-hmm. friends with Jimmy and knows a lot of these old stories.
So Jimmy was talking smack, I think, about Booger Man, who you, we don't even explain who Booger Man is. They
if
had
you know
Nasty
K-Rock's
Man,
history,
Booger
yeah.
Man. They just had everything.
Say,
yeah.
If you know K-Rock's history, you could just assume he was on air.
Somewhere between Kato Kaelin and Mother Love back in the day. And Jimmy started talking about him having sort of penis enlargement process or surgery or something. The thing about radio is people can hear you outside of the studio sometimes when they're riding a bike by the studio or sitting outside in their pickup truck. He had a key card. He came in and he started choking Jimmy in Frank Murphy's office the next, you know,
there were
in the
fingerprints
studio.
On his
wow.
throat.
No.
Yeah, he meant he was really angry.
It was serious. Like,
yeah.
I almost got up. Like, I was eating a breakfast burrito, and I was like, I'm this close to setting this down, bucko. Like, you better pray Jimmy doesn't turn another shade of purple.
Meanwhile, Jimmy's choking, and you're like, I don't know, I'm eating.
Well,
I'll see how bad it gets.
Do you ever really set down a breakfast burrito?
No, no.
And then can you fight a guy with a breakfast burrito? Like, these are all things that are running through my mind. So he's choking him, and eventually Jimmy gets him off, and he gets
wow.
out of there. And he doesn't.
I'm sorry?
Yes.
That's a whole other story.
Wow.
I don't remember it that way.
He ceases to choke him anymore.
Okay, good.
While Jimmy chokes his chicken. And he gets him out of there. And there's not really any discipline to Booger Man. Like, there's like a slap on the wrist. And, hey, no more choking coworkers.
Are you understood? Kidding?
Totally. Yeah, like, okay, totally. He got it out of his system.
This dude lived in a van. He lived in his van.
But later on, he was fired.
Yeah, sure.
He
yeah.
was fired.
What did he do?
I mean, what do you do to get fired at that point?
He gave away a mountain bike to one of his friends, like that did, you know, caller 106,
sure.
gets a free
sure.
Huffy. Yeah.
Which we get legal trouble
right,
for.
Right, he gave it to his buddy, so that's where they drew the line.
that's choking Jimmy? All right, listen, just don't.
Choke a coworker, we're in.
That's
right.
The beauty.
Give away a bike, out.
That's the majesty of radio.
Adam is here. His first comedy special is Adam Carolla, not Taco Bell material.
My first comedy special.
Which yeah. is, which is, I don't know, to me that was... shocking. I just figured you had 10, 15 of them.
I should have. You know, I did stand up at the very beginning, and then I did it at the end. That's where I'm at now.
But, I mean, your podcast, to me, a lot of times is just you doing stand-up.
It is.
In front of people.
It never got collected. Like, I never actually physically crafted a special. I just went from doing like open mics, and then I met you guys, and then Loveline and Man Show and Crank Anchors and everything else. And then I just got so lost in doing basic cable and syndicated radio that I never went out and did stand up again. And then at a certain point after I left this studio 10 years ago, the studio we're sitting in right now, leaving KLSX, I then started to embark on this stand-up journey again.
Now, I've watched it twice. I watched it once when you were supposed to come in 2 weeks ago.
And then
well, that's
it.
Why I didn't come in. I
totally forgot about it. And then I watched it again yesterday. Explain to people why it's called Not Taco Bell Material, if you don't mind.
I applied for a job when I was 16. I was going to North Hollywood High to the Taco Bell across the street from North Hollywood High. And I lived up the street from the Taco Bell. And they were accepting applications, but not mine. And that left a stain because I was like, I was 16. I was rejected from Taco Bell and I failed driver's ed like in the same week period. And I was like permanently sort of hobbled by that emotionally. And I'm still not right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's.
Like, those are like obvious. Teenage death sentences. Like, just alone, driver's ed, I remember that. When kids failed, it was a nightmare for them.
Oh, my God. It's the worst ever because you I didn't fail because I didn't show up. I failed because I failed to do like a 10-page report on passive restraints or airbags, friend or foe, or like whatever whatever it was back then.
I think you're taking a fake test. Yeah,
maybe it was.
Friend or foe.
But either way, I had to then go take it at the Sears place at the strip mall across from the Van Nuys DMV.
That's the most 818 thing you've ever said.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I had a driver's, and then I took driver's training in a private place, too.
Okay.
Like, you pay for
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
And this guy just put me in the car, and he just, like, direct me to drive around town.
I feel like those people are the worst.
Oh, my God. I
right?
Oh, let me give you a Me Too
Please.
Moment. This dude, this guy was, like, Israeli, and he's like, turn on Western. Turn here. Yes, turn into 7-Eleven. Turn in here. And I wait in the car. He goes in the car.
Oh, no.
I sit in the car. He goes into the 7-Eleven. He comes out with a Hustler. Opens it up and goes, look, it's 3D. Like it was back then when 3D porn was like a huge.
And I'm
going to
need the car
breakdown.
For about 30 seconds.
Yeah, yeah. He was showing it to me.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Do you know what happened with my driver?
What happened?
I had never been on a freeway. And he's like, well, first day, good time to learn.
First day.
Took me on the freeway to Chatsworth and brought me to the canyons where Manson used to have his meetings.
Spawn and told Ranch. You about it?
What?
Told me about it. He's like, just pull up here. Pulled up, got out of the car, and I'm like, this feels really bad and really not okay. He just wanted to fill me in on Charles Manson.
Was he trying to impress you?
He was, I
or
think.
Or murder her.
Going to murder me at
One
some
or both.
Point. But I got home, and I was like, Mom, yeah, I drove on the freeway. She's like, what? And I said, and I saw where Charles Manson had his meeting. She's like, that guy's fired.
What?
That
yeah, evidently, these guys were all inappropriate.
Insane.
I can't
yeah.
believe driver's ed teachers are
right?
weird.
That's so weird. Adam, I also thought that it was just a rumor that you didn't receive your diploma because of a late fee for a book from the library.
No,
I thought that
real.
Was a joke.
It is 100% true.
It's like, in a special. I was like, I
know,
honestly thought
no.
that was a joke. That was you're kidding.
No, I graduated barely from North Hollywood High, and I went to in the ceremony, and they're handing everyone their diplomas, and then they didn't hand me a diploma, and I was like, "Where's my diploma?" And they're like, "You go down, pay the book room $19.95 for We the People, and you get a diploma."
Now wait, they didn't tell you this until you're walking across the stage?
They might have tried to notify me in some fashion.
You
but
kept putting it in that book.
Yes, I was sort of unreachable back then, and so I was like. Or what? And they're like, or you don't get your diploma. And I scrolled through a quick history and of my life, and I realized I don't think I'm going to use this thing. Like, I'm not sure that anyone.
It just played out everything.
I'm going to clean carpets in Van Nuys.
Yeah.
I don't.
So
think...
was it worth the $19.95 to go pay off the book?
No. Well, when has anyone wanted to see your diploma?
Never. No, never.
Never. True.
No one's ever wanted. Where's your? Oh, it's in the glove. Honey, go to the car. It's in the glove box. Don't get it. What? Don't set your drink down on it. That's important parchment. Like, I knew no one would ever want to see it, and I never paid them their $19.95. That was, by the way, that was a big ticket item for the Corollas back in 1982. That would be like $37 today, you know? So I was like, screw you. I'm walking out on this bar tab. And I got into carpet cleaning, and then I got into construction, and then I got into radio, and I got into comedy.
And no
I
one
got...
ever cared.
No one ever asked. If you've learned anything from Adam Carolla today, just say you graduated.
Right.
No one
ever checks.
By
any
the
of.
Way, I'd like to say too. Same with college.
Yeah, Lori
right.
Loughlin.
Zero
blew it.
People.
Lori Loughlin didn't have to pay a dollar. Just say they graduated Yale.
Right.
Say
no
they
one
graduated.
Checks.
It doesn't matter.
Oh, I already worked it out with Drew. Like my kids went to Amherst. Lord Jeff was our mascot.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, get all the names.
I was in Johnson Hall. You
yeah.
know, and that's it. You're
yeah,
done.
Easy.
You just save yourself $200,000.
Adam Carolla is here. We need to take a break. The comedy special is Adam Carolla, not Taco Bell material, and you can get it at chassis.com. That's chassy.com. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. Adam Carolla is our guest in studio. Adam, I would like to ask you about the early days when you replaced Howard Stern.
Yes.
And then they said, we don't want you anymore. All
yes.
Right? Then you went right to podcasting. Was that even a thing then? You were one of the first, right?
Yeah, one of them. My thing was I would sit right where you're standing and every so often in the last few years when I was taken over for Howard Stern, they would come through the door right behind us and they'd go, oh man, you guys blow hard. You did have 18 million minutes of streaming last month. And I'd go, well, that's got to count
Seems
for
like a ton.
Something,
yeah.
right? And they'd right. go, no, not, we're not interested in that. In classic radio form.
Yep.
They were like, no. And I was like, well, you're having millions of minutes of streaming. That means people are listening in Chicago and Hawaii and stuff like that. And they were like, yeah, we're not on the air there. And I was like, yeah, but that's why they're streaming there. Like, you guys should be able to figure out how to make a nickel out of 18 million minutes of streaming.
I think that they figured that out in the last 3 or 4 years.
Right.
Right. Streaming. So this is 11 years ago when right. I'm standing where you're standing, and they're just going, nah, you guys suck. And they just leave. And it sort of stuck in my head. So when they flipped the format in 09, I was like, I don't think we could take those streaming people and give them a show online.
But like I say, it wasn't really, podcasting wasn't like it is now where there's millions of different options and everybody's doing it. You were one of the first.
Yeah, it wasn't that way. It's actually, there's only about a 4-month period I was able to enjoy my success as a podcaster because for the first part, it was like, what's a podcart? And I go, it's like a radio. Oh, yeah. Good luck getting back on the radio, dude. And then they'd leave. So that was the first part. Now you go, I do a podcast and they go, my friend's a mobile pet groomer, and he does a podcast out of his van.
Yeah.
And I go, yeah, okay. So it's zero. It's back to zero. There's like a 4-month period in like 2015 where I got to actually enjoy my success.
Well, right. Talking about your success, I'd like to maybe bring it back to a contractor question.
Sure.
If possible. I talked about this the other day. I think my pregnant wife was made a big mistake.
Mm-hmm.
We were
in marrying you.
Well, that's true. We were pressure wash outside on the concrete, and we didn't have a plug anywhere near. Mm-hmm. So she got a 50-foot outdoor extension cord and ran it from the house to the patio, and about half of it was submerged about 2 feet into the pool of the extension cord.
Yeah.
She then plugged it into the outlet dry. Into the house,
yeah.
and then into the power wash, again, dry, and then power wash. What were the chances she could have died right there?
I'd like to point out, before you answer that, I'd like to point out that Jensen never stepped in and said, I'll do it.
Well,
His pregnant wife did it.
For a couple minutes, I said, this is probably a bad idea.
For a couple minutes while you were Googling, is it a bad idea?
I Googled, is it a bad idea, almost directly, word for word.
Well, first off, God bless you for marrying a Viking. Like, she's out there. She's breaching. She's barefoot. It's raining. She's got the pressure washer dialed up to 110 PSI.
Yeah, strong woman.
Yeah, it's a sharp contrast to the relationship I have with my wife, which is... Home Depot commercial comes on where the sassy chick's up front at the paint department. The guys a step back, and I go, you see this? This is what happens sometimes.
No.
People do this.
Yeah, I was inside playing the Nintendo Switch at some point. It's the exact opposite.
Well, there's an outdoor outlet, and the outdoor outlet probably had a GFI outlet, I mean, a ground force.
But she was indoor.
That's the three-prong one?
Because he's right.
The reset button that you put near your sink or in your bathroom.
Yeah.
Anywhere near water source or exterior will have that GFI.
This was not that. This was just an indoor normal outlet that she was using because we had none outside. Okay, so you can go safe.
See, Kevin remembers you can win any argument.
But still.
You can tie any argument.
Yeah, but still, and if that doesn't work, you go, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Those are the rules. No one can argue that.
You'll tie it with yeah, but still, and win it with I'm just saying. So this wasn't a GFI outlet.
Right.
Yeah, but still.
Okay. Well,
I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
Oh, now you
won. I'm just saying.
Shoot.
All right, you guys have a good show.
It
actually works.
Yeah, it was probably okay if it was a new cord.
It was,
but I wouldn't recommend it. And after you have the youngin, make sure the youngin's not in the pool when the cable's going through it. And anyone who saw Jaws 2 or 3 knows that's how the shark died at the end. Like, bit like a huge electrical cable.
Well, now you're
cable.
Saying it's positive.
Yes, it is.
Spoiler alert, for God's sakes, Adam.
Yeah, someone
haven't watched it yet.
On the radio. I've been waiting 30 years to watch that Jaws sequel.
How about your wife is out there pressure washing
right.
while you're
right?
inside playing Fortnite?
Yeah,
she
was killing it.
Wow.
She's a trooper.
She knew what she was getting into, though. I will say that.
Yes.
She knew when she was married.
Help. but I'm more of an assistant. I'm a sous chef.
You cheer her on. That's what you do. Adam, you did talk one time about the key to success is persistence.
Yes.
And I would just like to clarify that because I hear you say that and I hear people on the stage getting an Oscar say that. Just stick with it. Whatever your dream is, just stick with it. I'd like to say, hey, pick a good dream for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like the Armenian comedian who you know well.
Sure.
Has all the confidence in the world. He can be persistent for the rest of his life and he won't succeed because he didn't pick wisely.
Yeah.
You have to pick what you're going to do, you know, commensurate with what you can do.
I agree. Right? It'd be nice if you had the ability. I think that's what we love about sports and hate about comedy. If the Armenian comedian was like, look, I'm playing forward for the Lakers, that dream is dashed upon birth.
Right.
Right. But when you say you're going to do comedy or you're going to write country songs, there is nobody who actually intervenes and says, you cannot do this anymore.
You can be not successful and continue being not successful, but they won't stop you.
Also, it kind of flies in the face of the Me Too movement because every single story from anyone older than 60, where'd you go? How'd you two meet? Well, I met her on campus, senior year of high school. She turned around and walked the other way, but I didn't give up.
Yeah.
I didn't give up, man. I was persistent. And then I showed up at her door, and she slammed the door in my face, and I popped up through her window at night, and then I dropped in through the flue in her kitchen, you know? And she kept walking. You know, she was engaged at the time, and she had a couple of kids from a previous marriage, and she was a lesbian, but I wouldn't quit. I wouldn't quit. And eventually, I got some rope and some duct tape and an ether rag. And now we've been married for 26 years.
Courtship in the 50s was assault.
And I swear to God, every one of the stories was, she didn't like me. Your Nana never liked me. But I didn't stop. That didn't slow me down.
Yeah, that kind of persistence maybe isn't good.
That's what crowbars are for.
Yeah. Yes, I heard a great man on the radio on April 26th, 2017 say these words. Quitters never give up. Quitters never give up is a thing he said. We made it into a T-shirt.
I did say that.
Broadcasting Hall of Fame.
So that's why he was asking you. He said, can I have some backup?
And then Beat immediately said, that's exactly what they do.
I was doing a Crank Yankers episode once, and I called, and I was talking to some woman, and I said, you know, my mom, whatever character I was doing, probably Mr. Burchell, I was like, my mom's passed away. And I paused and I said, a child should never have to bury a mother. And the woman went, oh, God, I agree. And it's the same, right?
Yeah.
It sounds good at the time.
Right.
It doesn't really mean anything.
Right.
It kind of means the opposite.
Right.
Crank Kicker's coming back.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we could talk about that, but it reminds me quickly, Jimmy had his brother-in-law a million years ago, Carson. Remember
sure.
Carson?
Mm-hmm.
Not Carson Daly, but Carson, brother-in-law. And he printed up like 5,000 T-shirts back in those, like, remember when T-shirts were like, second place is first loser, and like
right.
all that stuff.
Like, no fear.
No fear stuff.
Yeah.
And he presented one for me and Jimmy, and it said, scars heal, losing doesn't. And I was like, I think the definition of a scar, I have a smallpox vaccination from 1965. It's still there. It's still there. You can see it if I pull my sleeve up. So we all do it. Even the greats.
Even the greats.
Even the greats.
Even the greats.
All right, Adam, before you go, we would like to do 60 seconds. So I'm just going to rapid fire questions. You give me whatever comes to your mind at once. Ready?
Yes.
60 seconds with Adam Carolla. What did you want to be as a kid?
Fireman.
Twizzlers or Red Vines?
Red Vines.
Would you rather hang out with a guy named Chuck or a guy named Harold?
Chuck, as long as he didn't ask people to call him Charles.
Okay. Walnuts, worst nut ever or hot dirt?
They are hot dirt, and they're both. They're simultaneously, depends their application. You crush them up and put them on top of oatmeal with enough brown sugar, and they take a turn for the good. They're like a gun. In the hands of a cop, great. In the hands of Al-Qaeda, bad. That's what a walnut is.
Dog kisses on the mouth, yes or no?
No, I don't mind if it happens to me. Only to wake up people that have passed out in weird places. Other than that, it's bizarre and borders on sexual.
Washcloths in the shower, yes or no?
No, I'm not a fan.
How do you clean your ass?
Because it goes from your ass to your face.
You don't use it on your face.
Hold on, Adam made a great point.
You never use a washcloth on
you
your
don't.
Face.
The next person does.
You put it in the hamper.
Oh,
you
no.
use it once.
Ellie no. made fun of me because she says I can't be clean if I don't use a washcloth. And I'm like, of course you can
How
be.
Are you cleaning your butt?
How dirty is your butt?
Well, first,
not at all. Thank you.
You've got to get one of those paper. Toilet seats that fires the pressure. Your wife would understand.
Rich
the pressure.
Have her install it.
Yeah, have her install that bad
watch
boy.
Her. Watch her do it.
Adam, I had one of those in a hotel. Finally, we have to go, but I have one in a hotel, and I didn't know how to work it. So I turned it on, and then nothing happened. So, of course, me being an idiot, turned it on more, and it pretty much destroyed me.
Yeah,
it went straight. It came out my eyes and my nose. I was up against the roof, the ceiling.
I was like, I mean, maybe I turned that up just a little bit too much.
Oh, yeah. I never wish there was a video more.
The Riga Royal in New York City was the first place we all experienced that.
That's so painful. All right. The comedy special is Adam Carolla, not Taco Bell material. You can get it at iTunes or at Chassis, that's chassy.com. Adam, you're always welcome. Thank you for coming.
You're taking all of my time.
I'm sorry. I apologize. No.
Britain's Got Talent.
Oh.
This is a 12-year-old kid.
I got to wish right. Try a little. Try to this. Oh, you got to do a squeezer. Hold it when you want to. Got to squeeze her. Don't tease her. Never leave her. You got to get to it. Try a little gentleness.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Stop it.
For 12, that's good.
For 12, that's good. For anyone, that's good. Okay, so that guy, you know, he performs, and how do you follow that? You're the next person up on Britain's Got Talent.
Difficult.
Yeah.
This is the next guy. He walks out. He's standing in front of the microphone. The announcers backstage are like going, what's he going to do? And the judges are all looking at each other like, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
The guy's a hand farter.
Chihuahua.
Yes. He does a medley of three songs. I'm not going to tell you what they are because you will recognize them as they go. But he walks up there and he stands there. And then he's just got this weird grin on his face. And he starts. And Simon Cowell is one of the judges. And they look at him and he's just like so sour.
Oh, I love it.
He goes into another song and he looks at him and he's like almost smiling. And at the end, he gets a standing ovation from the crowd and the judges.
No,
he's your hero.
He's my hero. Those guys are the Ryan Seacrest of the show. Mm-hmm. They're asking how he does it in tune, and that's a great question.
Yeah.
It's in tune.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
He's got range.
How does he do that?
Ghostbusters.
Yes. Ghostbusters.
Those butters are, I'm trying to give it a pun.
Wow, going crazy, clapping along.
Ooh.
Long.
It sounds
wet.
Right?
I've never been so happy in his entire life. Oh my god, it's Eye of the Tiger.
Eye of the Tiger.
Is there nothing this kid can't do? How does he rate with our American hand farter?
Oh, Kevin.
I don't know, because our American hand farter did maybe the most difficult song ever.
For sure.
Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah. But he's...
Here comes a big no.
Now listen.
When they add to it, you're the best. And everybody's like, woo!
And the 12-year-old is probably backstage going, hey!
What do I have to do?
I just killed and I'm 12!
Do they just hand over the trophy now?
I'm not sure.
What happened?
So then I spent literally 45 minutes last night. Like, I knew, like, everyone can do that, right? And I can't. I couldn't.
I don't love the sounds you're making with your hands.
Well, I don't either, but I would like it to be music, but it doesn't seem to. Like,
yeah,
is that a unique skill? That?
Well, yes, but also when you do it, it sounds clammy.
Well, it doesn't sound like it's supposed to because I'm not doing it. Maybe I need a coach.
Oh, a hand farting coach.
Is there a hand farting coach? Is
There's
that a thing?
There's got to be.
Hold on. There might be because there are people who can probably do it and teach how to do it. But here,
Jensen's got noise.
Oh, I can't even do that.
That's not even Allie? Using his hands.
Yeah, I got
Allie's actually making zero sound.
I do need lotion.
Kevin, what if you get yourself a hand farter coach? And I get serious about my ukulele playing. Oh. And that's our act at Acoustic Christmas.
And we go on the road.
I don't know about going on the road, but at least for one night only. Can you imagine if we got to open Acoustic Christmas with that?
I am in.